జయం విశుపాల పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభిచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహాశీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశుపాల పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహాశీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సమూహ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గౌగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధామణిగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథపురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి ఓ ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అని గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద నమాంశపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ,
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 ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాందియం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుతా పదకమలం శ్రీ గురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీ రూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పదాం సహగణ లలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి నామినే. శ్రీ వర్షమానవి దేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీ గౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనతారిణి రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావ సిద్ధాంతద్వందహారిణి. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంభోదే పదాంబుజాయదే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపాను గౌరాయనే గౌరావిర్భవభూమిస్త్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జన ప్రియా వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ దే నమః. వాంఛకల్పదరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహాబదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్వషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాత్వికం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధా కాంద నమోస్తుతే. జయదం సురగౌభంగోర్మమందమదీర్ఘది మత్సర్వసదాంభోజో రాధామదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాదశ్రీమన్నత్నాకరసింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమన్రాధాశీలగోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభీమం శ్రీవటతటస్థితా కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనిర్గోపేర్గోపినాథా శ్రీయేస్తు నాః తప్తగాంజనగౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుదే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే పులారవిందాయతపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ త్వత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావోదోగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చాణూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభూదితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః ప్రవీయమానం ముదా భూయాత్ భారత పంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మోగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదై సాంగపదే క్రమ ఉపనిషదే గాయందియం సమగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై what we were talking about last time was Hastamalaka Gita, what we saw in Hastamalaka's realizations of the truth, and then we also mentioned about Bhikshu, the Bhikshu's realizations which we have discussed before. What we have to do is that when you see what Hastamalaka had to say and what Bhikshu had to say, you will find that practically there is no difference at all in their realization. Only the language has, the words may have changed, but the message that comes from both Hastamalaka as well as the Bhikshu is one and the same. Just like Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to
continuously read Bhagavatam, what we call as anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means constantly in remembrance of Bhagavatam, what Bhagavatam has to say. Just like that is what is known as tapasa. Tapasa means austerity. So, and engaging all the time in reading Bhagavatam and absorbing Bhagavatam is known as tapasa. Is known as tapasya. Because that is the way to understand Krishna, what Krishna has to say to this world. That is why they say that asammana tapo vrittihi sammanatu tapakshayaha. For example, in this Bhikshu Gita, you will notice something interesting, that Uddhava asked certain questions to to Krishna, that how do I deal with this world? When Krishna has spoken to Uddhava that honor and dishonor in this world, one should able to handle it without being affected by that. This was Krishna's point in the 22nd chapter. At the end you will see there. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava that asammana tapo vriddhihi sammanatu tapakshayaha. Asamana means when you get praised by people in this world, your tapasya, austerity, will get destroyed. And when you get offended and criticized and insulted by the world, your tapasya will increase. This is the way it works. If you get praised in this world, if you get glorified or praised or commended by the public, general public, your tapasya will go down. Asammana tapo buddhihi and sammanatu tapakshayaha. That tapasya kshayam will happen when you get glorified and when you get praised and honored in this world. Sammanat tu tapakshayaha, your tapasya will go. Instead, if you get criticized and treated harshly by the world and treated rudely and insulted by the world, your tapasya will go up. Tapasya means your strength of that spiritual power or spiritual potency, it will go up. So the more the people worship you, pay their respects to you and honor you, your tapas will get reduced. Tapas will get reduced. The more you get insulted, criticized and offended, your tapas will get better. Tapas means austerities will get better. Because tapas, when it gets increased, when it increases, because when people criticizes you, or when people offends you, or rudely treats you, who is getting offended is the ahankaram inside, isn't it? So all the glory from the world and all the criticism from the world is for your false ego. It has nothing to do with the self. Atma has nothing to do with that. All the criticism from the world, all the rudeness of the world or the harshness of this world, which people may throw upon you, is thrown on your ahankaram. Ahankaram is the one who has to handle that. Similarly, whatever praise or glory that comes from the world, who actually gets strengthened? Ahankaram gets strengthened. Ahankaram gets strengthened. So, just like I mentioned last time also, if some people have honored you a lot of times, and if they don't honor you, at that time you will find what has gone wrong. Start thinking like that. So, as I mentioned in the story also last time, there was one sannyasi and he had one disciple. And this disciple daily used to pay his obeisances to his this sannyasi. And one day he stopped paying obeisances. So he asked him that, why you don't pay obeisances anymore? So he told him that up to this time you have never asked me to pay obeisances. So I have been paying obeisances to you. But now that you have started asking me, I stopped, he said. So that was the answer. So, because you had that desire in you that to get honored and respected and all that, so therefore I have stopped it, he said. So you will see there in the 57th verse, Krishna is saying that in the 22nd chapter, Kshipto avamanido asadbhi pralabdho asuyito thava tadidasannibaddhova mrityava parihapidaha. Kshipto avamanido asadbhi pralabdho asuyito thava tadidasannibaddhova mrityava parihapidaha. So there Krishna is saying to us that one has to learn how to tolerate insult, how to tolerate offenses. Krishna is saying to us, one has to learn how to tolerate insults and offenses in this world. So this question comes up, they asked one sannyasi once, that if somebody abuses you or talks to you in a very rude way, what should I do, he said. So the Maharshi told him that you also join him and start abusing you. That's the best thing to do. Somebody abuses you, you also join him and say, join him and abuse you yourself, about yourself. Because he is actually doing a great favor. That person who is abusing you is doing a great favor. You will see this in the Ekanath Swami's Abhangs. He mentions about this, what he had to go through in his own life. So he says there is nobody in this world to whom you have to be grateful than the one who insults you and offends you and criticizes you. He's like a Nishkama Karma Yogi, he's saying there. Because his comparison is like this, that just like in the county council sends the people to take all the garbage away, and for which you have to pay the council tax, isn't it? But these people who come and clean us inside, who comes and abuses you, and you cleans inside, they don't charge anything. It's free. So actually they are doing a better service than even the county council. County council you have to pay to come and clean all the garbage. But those who come and insults you and offends you and treats you rudely, they are actually doing you a great favor, because it helps you to, not the ahankaram to go away, ahankaram to go away from inside. So therefore they say there is no other holy places than those people who can do this for us. And they will purify us and go away. They will purify us and go away. So, and they will criticize us, they will offend us and insult us, and in this way it will make us purified. That is only beneficial to those people who are actually engaged in spiritual life, not for everybody. For those who are absorbed in spiritual life, they will get an immense benefit from this dealings. So because when they insult us or when they abuse us or treat us harshly or rudely, at that time, that whom are they insulting? Our ahankaram, isn't it? The ahankaram inside is the one who gets affected by that. So let them continue doing that, because all what they are doing is a great favor to us. And only already they are giving trouble, but at the same time, when he is offending us, if you are able to tolerate that and able to survive through that, only he will be benefited by that. That person who can tolerate that and you can accept that without any revenge or vengeance, without any reaction, only that person will be affected by that. Only that person will be benefited by that. As we mentioned before, when we talk about Tidiksha, that is called Tidiksha, isn't it? Tidiksha means that Sahanam Sarva Dukhanam, all kinds of distress what comes in life, Apradigara Purvagam. Apradigara means without any kind of reaction to it. Apradigara Purvagam, Chinda Vilavarehidam. And not meditating on that and feeling sorry about that. Sa Tidiksha Idigathyade. That is what is known as Tidiksha. So it builds up Tidiksha inside. When Krishna is saying to Uddhava, it is the same thing. He is saying to Uddhava that Shriptam Avamanido Asadbi. Avamanido Asadbi Pralabdho Asuitothava Tadida Sannibaddhova Vrityava Parihavidaha. any kind of offenses that may come from this world, you never know how the world will treat you at any point in time. So, if you do not react to that without any vengeance inside, only then it will be benefited. Instead, if you develop the mentality or of revengeful nature inside, then it will not help. Because if that happens, if one does that without any revengeful mind, if he is able to deal with that, then that is only possible only for those people who are performing sadhana on a very, very higher level. Uttama sadhaga. Uttama sadhaga means first class sadhaga. It's a person who performs in spiritual life, first class sadhana, only such a person can deal with that. And therefore, whatever he will think that even if he insults or says something bad or rudely to you, he will accept it. That doesn't matter. What does it matter? So this incident you have to learn. That is what Krishna is saying here. That this art of tolerating this world, one has to learn that. And he gave this example of Bhikshu's life, how it changed. And in the recent times, Ekanath Swami's life, if you look, you will see many, many people have offended him so badly. He used to go to bathe in Godavari River, and while he was returning from the Godavari River after bathing there, a group of people who have planned and organized it before, they have eaten this betel leaf and betel nuts. And after chewing that, when he was coming back from the Godavari River, they spat that on him. So, Ekanath Swami didn't say one word. He went back to the river and bathed and came back again. Again they spat at him. 27 times they did this to him. And even spite of that, he didn't react. So imagine that tolerance inside, in him. If this has happened to us, what we would have done? First instance, we would have reacted, isn't it? So Ekanath Swamiji went back to the river and bathed again. 27 times this happened, and a group of people have organized this deliberately to annoy him and to see the reactions. So, and every time he went back to the river and bathed and came back. So finally, those people who organized that, they gave up. And the person who did this, he went up to Ekanath Swami and paid his respects to him and told him that, why do you not get angry about this? Ekanath's reply was that, whatever you have spat on me these so many times, it didn't matter because I could go to the river and bathe and clean myself. But if what you have, suppose if I have got angry with you and that dirt that will be inside, that will not go even if I bathe in the Godavari River. What he was trying to say is that most of the times when situations like that happen, if we do not allow that to develop a vasana inside, then you have escaped from that. Suppose you are hurt, angaram has been hurt, or if somebody spat on your body or did something in a similar way to offend you or insult you, any whatever it may be, if this relationship with the body, it can be cleaned, body can be cleaned and brought back. But suppose instead, if that has created a vasana inside, that vasana won't go easily. That will take another lifetime. One has to come back to destroy that vasana. So that is the after effect of that. That is what Krishna is saying here. That effect, like Ekanath says, that even if I bathe in Godavari River, it will go. So similarly, Krishna is saying here also, Kshiptaha avamanidaha asadbhihi, then praladdaha asvaidhodava. All these kind of reactions from this world will happen to us. And it is very, very difficult to deal with this world when you are in spiritual life. When you actively take to spiritual life, to deal with the world is very, very difficult. Every great personality had to go through this difficult times in life. that initially till we get out of this world, because the world will always be very, very cruel to the people who have taken to spiritual life. So, then there are many people who take to spiritual life, they dress up themselves as spiritually serious, only in the dress. And they are called, Krishna calls it as Mithyachara Samuchyade, Mithyachari in the Bhagavad Gita. Mithyachari means that hypocrites. They have no genuine interest in spiritual life, instead using spiritual life as a... So, they have a misunderstanding about things. They dress up themselves as spiritually serious, but when it comes to... they have different motives behind it. So, sometimes what happens is that they write books and they write articles and they write, present themselves in such a way, and people start getting misled by that. People get misled by that. And they say that, you have to remember this, that many times when they say spiritual and all that, and what you read in the books is not all true. It's not all true. That, and there is some part, sometimes there is partial truth, and there is a lot of cheating as well. There's a lot of cheating as well. And we have to know both. We have to know both. What is cheating and what is the truth as well. And always you have to remember that just because it's printed in the book and published in the book or presented in the YouTube or anything, you cannot completely accept that as truth all the time. So, sometimes part of it is arthavadam also. Arthavadam. Arthavadam means that for the sake of... it is exaggeration, in other words. Certain things are exaggerated. And in their point of view, they don't find that as a wrong thing to do. So, because main thing is, in spiritual life is one field where it is very difficult to bring certain legislation or any kind of system or organization. You can see none of them will work in the spiritual field. You bring some legislation, nobody is going to follow that. Everyone will give their own interpretation. This problem is always there in the spiritual field. Similarly, no legislation will work, and no kind of law or systems will work, and not even organization will function. You can see that all the time. If you properly analyze it, you will see that the founder has instructed something. Founder, what he has spoken, it will all have changed over a period of time. It doesn't take very long time to change it. Whole thing will go in a completely different way. And Uddhava mentioned this to Krishna. Later you will see this in the Bhagavadam. When Uddhava raised a similar question, Uddhava's question was this, that Vadanti Krishna Shrayamsi. That Krishna, he asking Krishna that, Bahuno Brahma Vadinam. These people who have come to spiritual life, why do they have so many different opinions about self-realization? And they are all saying they are accepting the authority of the Vedam. This is the most interesting thing. Everybody says that they are following Vedam, they are following Vedam, Vedic authority. But by then there is so much difference. Krishna answered that question in a very brilliant way. He told Uddhava, Uddhava, it is the fault. It is not the fault of the Shastram. It's not the fault of the Shastram. It is like this. Whatever I have spoken in the Shastram is true. But what is happening is that, just like he gives the example, that if you are looking at an object, whatever it may be, and if your glasses have got different colors, for example, somebody, if you have a red glass in your... spectacles or specs, if you have red glass, and if you look at an object, you will see that in the red color. Similarly, if your glasses are white glass, you will see that glass, that object as it is. If you use a red glass, you will see that object in a different way. If you see the black glass, dark glasses, then also you will see them in a different way. So, it is the glass through which you are looking at the instructions, what Krishna has spoken, that makes a big difference. Just like you can see that these three glasses are there, white, the red and the black. Satogunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Acharya has spoken something and the person who has taken it, he has accepted it according to the glass which he has got. The glass is that gunam which is covering his vision, covering his mind, in other words. His mind will see that particular instruction according to the gunam that is covering that mind. For example, if he has sattugunam, he will understand it one way. Which will be in a progressive way for developing sattugunam and advancing in spiritual life. If he has got rajogunam inside, the same instruction what given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, it will be seen by the person in a rajasic way. And if the person is tamogunam, covering his mind, he will see the same instruction what Krishna has given in a tamasic way. So these three modes of nature are the three glasses that we put on, all of us, every one of us have got that, the three different glasses. Therefore, whenever we get instructions from the higher personalities, spiritual personalities, great devotees, great jnanis, and similarly all the instructions what you read in the books, all that is published, propagated, everything, when it comes to every person, it changes according to his color of the glass or the modes of nature what is present inside him. That is why this is happening, Uddhava. He says to Uddhava, Krishna says this to Uddhava, Vadanti Krishna Shrayamsi Bahuni Brahma Vadinam. Many different ways people are coming out with different interpretations of the same thing what Krishna has spoken. So, and particularly in spiritual field, in other things it's different. In science and technology and politics and history, it can change. But in spiritual field, when it comes to spiritual field, purely depending on the color of glass what you have on your, or the modes of nature what you have, your understanding will change of the instruction what's been given by the spiritual master. So therefore, you can see here that the spiritual field, this problem is most serious, because every organization you take, you will see different ways, the same institution acting in different ways in different places. According to the people who are managing that locally, they will have their understanding and they will do what they think is the, according to the way they see things, that's the way it will be. And they will say that I'm just following whatever the founder has said. That will be their answer to that. But it won't be. It is not possible, because the modes of nature in them will change the instructions when they receive it from them. So this problem is not current problem. It's been there since time immemorial. In spiritual life, this problem has always been there. Impossible to hold on to something, because the founder, out of his goodness and his mode of goodness, he may have instructed something, but by the time it goes through people who are of different modes of nature, the message will get continuously changed. By the time two or three generations passes through, it would have gone through three times through sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, and by the time it gets to three, four generations, it will have a completely different interpretation of the original message. It's bound to happen. It's unavoidable. It is unavoidable. And every time, every new person who comes, he has been told that this is what the founder wants. And that person will accept it that way. That's what he knows. Because when he came to the institution, that is what he has seen. And then he accepts that as the precise instruction in that way. This is a difficult thing. So, and similarly, you will see people who are dressed up like sannyasis. Deliberately, they are dressed as sannyasis. But when it comes to, analyze it, you will see their intentions, what it was behind that. Some of them had different agenda behind it. Sometimes to have some disciples, or to have some disciples. There were people like that. They just wanted to have a few disciples around. And some others, they wanted to build a huge ashram for whatever purpose they wanted to have it. And this kind of nature you will find in the spiritual field a lot, in the spiritual field. There was one sannyasi in Ramana Maharshi's ashram also in that time. When he, first time when he came to Tirunamalai from his village, when he came to Tirunamalai, he was staying in the mountains. And there was Skandashramam where he was staying at that time. And nearby, there was another older sannyasi there. His name was Balananda. That was his name, who used to live there. So this Balananda, and when Ramana Maharshi came there first time, he was 17-year-old boy. He was, nobody knew him, but he was always absorbed in his sadhana very, very strongly at that time. And when this sannyasi saw him, that he was very, very austere, and he was very fixed in spiritual life, this sannyasi decided that I'll keep him as my disciple and use him to collect funds from the people, from others. This was in his mind. So Ramana Maharshi used to sit in one cave for a long time, and this sannyasi used to bring visitors who were coming there, bring him over and tell him that he is my disciple who is sitting there. And Ramana Maharshi never used to speak one word about anything to anybody. That was his situation. And most of the time, he was not even conscious about his own body. Maharshi was not even conscious of his own body. And often the sannyasi will come and sit next to him, but Maharshi will not speak to him 1 minute. So, but he was using Maharshi's name to raise funds from the public. Public who are visitors who are coming, floating population comes. And he used to tell them that this is my disciple who is practicing meditation and you should offer something for him. And this way used to raise funds from him. So, and one instance, Maharshi was watching this, observing this, what was happening. So he decided to leave the place and go away from the ashram, walk away from there. At that time, this sannyasi got very upset because he was using him as a way to get money from the public. So Maharshi did not say anything. He left the place. While leaving, the sannyasi got so upset and he spat at him. Spat at Ramana Maharshi. And Maharshi, somebody else who was observing this, he got so angry about it, he took a big stick and wanted to beat him up, this sannyasi, for what he has done. Maharshi told him, no, don't do that, because after all, he has spat on me, he has done me a favor. And I can clean this. If I wipe it out and clean with some water, it will go. But instead, if you react to that, that will not be very good for the spiritual life. So, that is what Krishna is also saying here. Shutto nishtido mutrido vajye bahudevam prakampidaha shrayaskama krichragada alpana alpana mudharel nishtido mutrido vajye bahudevam prakampidaha shrayaskama krichragadaha Alman Almana Mudharel Shreyaskrama Krishragada Alman Almana Mudharel. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, if you want to go up in the spiritual life, you have to learn how to tolerate these offenses in this world. So, whatever they may do, Munishtidova Mutridova Shreyaskrama Krishragadaha Alman Almana Mudharel. Actually, this is another same commentary on the Bhagavad Gita verse. Uddhared alpan alpanam alpanam avasadayet almanyev alpano bandhu almayev ribur almana. It's a commentary on the same words. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhared alpan alpanam. That exactly is saying here. Alpan alpanam uddhared. Alpan alpanam uddhared. So, one has to elevate oneself. One has to elevate oneself. If you start thinking that you are this body, then you will go down in spiritual life. If you always think that you are this body, then you will go down. Because if you start thinking that you are this body, then you will react. Straight away, you will react. If you think that you are the mind or ahankaram, then you will react. If you think mind or the body or the mind, then you will straight away react to that. But if you realize it that I'm neither the body nor the mind, then there won't be any reaction from inside. So that side, what Krishna has spoken, one has to be very well fixed on that, not to react to that situation. And if you say there that that you are not the body or the mind, then there won't be any reaction. So, because elevation is through knowledge. When Krishna is saying that Atman, Atmanam Uddharet, how do you elevate? Atman, Atmanam Uddharet, elevating through knowledge. Elevating through knowledge and realization, through knowledge. And after saying that, Krishna kept quiet, didn't say anything. After these two verses, Tasmad Uddhava Mabhunksha Vishayana Sadindriyaihi Atmagrahana Narbhadam Vashyavaigalpigam Brahmam Kshiptovamanido Sadbi Praladho Asuido Thava Tadida Sannibadhova Vrityava Paridabidaha Nishtido Mutrido Vatnir Bahudevam Pragambidaha Shrayaskama Krichragada Alpana Alpana Mudharel. Those three verses. Krishna said this Atmagrahana Nurbhadam Pasha Vaigalpigam Brahmam, which we discussed before. Atmagrahana Nurbhadam Pasha Vaigalpigam. Why Vigalpam comes inside? Because of Atmagrahana Nurbhadam. Atma is not consciously realized, therefore, Atma is not shining inside, therefore, Vigalpam is coming inside. Pasha Vaigalpigam Brahmam, and that Vigalpam creates the Brahmam inside. After saying all that, Uddhava asked question to Arjuna, to Krishna at that time. Uddhava says to him that when I hear what you have spoken so far, I'm getting frightened, he says. Uddhava says, I'm getting frightened. Why? Yadhaiva mani buddhyeyam vadano vadadam vara sudusrahamimam mani almani asadadikramam. 59th verse. Uddhava says, it is the most difficult thing what you are saying to us. Because other people, when they abuse us and when they try to give you trouble, if you say to us that you can't react to that and you have to live without any reaction to that, that is a bit difficult, Uddhava says. When you are in the Salsangam, you can say that. You can say that, isn't it? But once you go out and when the vyaharam begins in this world, it becomes difficult. When you are here, you will know, recognize that, yes, it is correct. You should not react to that situation. And I should not get affected by any such thing. But when you go outside, Uddhava says it's not possible. He's saying, Vidushama vivishwalman prakritirhi baliyasi hridayetva dharma niradhan shandhamste charanalayan. The last verse. Vidushama vivishwalman prakritirhi baliyasi. Prakriti is very, very powerful. Material nature is very, very powerful, he says. And even very learned scholars, who are highly learned, even they find that difficult when they get ill-treated or when they get offended or criticized by the world. So, what to do? This was Uddhava's question, isn't it? That was Uddhava's question. And he mentions there that there is one exception, Uddhava says, Toddharma Niradhan. Toddharma Niradhan. That is the only exception. Exception is like this, that Toddharma Niradhan Shandamste Charanalayan. That those who do not think about their own ability, or those whose ahankaram is not very, very strong, who has a good control on their, who are completely dependent on Krishna or Krishna's grace, are completely depending on Krishna, who are living in this world and passing through this world, the whichever way Krishna is taking them, who is going that way, those people wouldn't have a problem. Everybody else will suffer from this problem. We will learn Shastram, but when it comes to bringing it into practice, we all fail. We can't handle that. In Vyavaharam particularly. And that is why Uddhava is saying there, Toddharma Niradhan Shandamste Charanalayan. One who has taken Krishna shelter, particularly what Uddhava is saying there, bhakti. That bhakti and surrender, without that, whatever shastra we study and practice it, it will not work. It will fail at the end. It will fail at the end. That's what he's saying. Toddharma Niradhan Shantamste Charanale. Toddharma Niradhan means Bhagavata Dharma. What, who is practicing? Bhagavata Dharma. One who is practicing Bhagavata Dharma and completely surrendered and dependent on Krishna, only those persons are exceptions. They will not get disturbed about it. That's the power of Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma's beauty. That is what he is saying here. Hrade Tvadharma Niradan Shandamste Charana Alayan. Tvadharma Niradan. That they are busy with the Bhagavata Dharma. They will not have a difficulty. And they live in this world according to the way Krishna is running their life. They are not concerned about that. Or those who have got that grace of Krishna, Krishna's grace, or pure devotees. And the reason is that for those people, except them, everybody else will fail this test. Except those people who have taken complete Krishna shelter and living in this world, depending on Krishna, whichever way, whatever Krishna does to you, accepting that without any complaint, only they are the people who will survive. Everybody else will fail. Uddhava says that here. Because with your personal power, you can't win material nature. With your personal power, you cannot win the material nature. The reason is, the personality in itself is within the Prakriti. Is it not? Personality itself is within the Prakriti. So, when we talk about these courses and seminars to become humble and humility, it will not work. It cannot work. The reason is this, that person who is conducting the horse is also inside this Prakriti. And the person who is listening also is inside the Prakriti. It will not work. The only thing to be learned is this, that those who are dependent on Krishna, they will succeed in this test. Nobody else. Uddhava is saying there, Tvadharma Niradan Shandamste Charanalayan. Others have no possibility. Everybody else will fail the test. So, because you can see, the ego or ahankaram inside itself is Prakriti. It's coming from the Prakriti. Isn't it? Bhagavad Gita mentions that. So, just like you can see, many people take this resolution on the New Year Day. Is it not? New Year Day they take, it's a very common New Year resolution. They say, people ask in the offices also, what is your New Year resolution and all that. So, they on the 1st of January, they want to give up something, what they have done. Everywhere it happens, this New Year resolutions, they call it. So, and they'll say, on the 1st, January 1st, they'll take a resolution that I'll be like this in my life, in the next year, I'm going to be like this or what, whatever it may be. But if you ask them on the 2nd of January, it would have gone. Because the person who has taken that resolution on the 1st of January, he is not there on the 2nd of January. Do you know that? So the person who took the resolution on the 1st of January, he is not there on the 2nd of January. Because who took the resolution? Ahankaram inside. Ahankaram has changed its role. It's a different person. It's a different person who is talking on the 2nd of January. Not the external body, but inside that false ego who spoke on the 1st of January, who took the resolution, is not the same person on the 2nd of January. Just like you can see, the ahankaram or false ego in the vacant state is not there in the dream state. It changes. Ahankaram is constantly changing, isn't it? So the ahankaram on the 1st of January is not there on the 2nd of January. Ahankaram has changed. That is why ahankaram is called a vigaram. Vigaram means which is changing, subject to change. And prakritehi vikaraha. So sometimes people say, oh, I take a decision that I will not tell lies anymore. So there was an article about that. He says that somebody took a resolution like this, I will not tell lies anymore. He said, I'll only tell the truth, always. He took this. But by the time he had to go to bed, he was thinking about it all day. That how much suffering he had to go through because of not telling the lies. Because everybody tells lies in this world to get through, some way or the other, isn't it? So he changed his decision the night itself. Next day he back to the normal again. So, like that, you make decisions, but who making the decision? Ahankaram is making the decision. So it has no meaning at all. Because that is what Krishna is saying there. Uddhava is saying there, Vidushamavi Vishwalpan Prakritirhi Baliyasi. Prakriti is very powerful. Prakritirhi Baliyasi. Prakriti is so powerful that you can't do anything about it. Prakriti will change. That's why it's Prakriti. It is not Purusha. It is Prakriti. Isn't it? And Prakriti overpowers you. It overpowers you. So Prakriti is holding it back. You see. So therefore, how to cross over this Prakriti? That was Uddhava's question. Uddhava is saying, how to remain in this world unaffected by the Prakriti, within this Prakriti. We have to live within this Prakriti, we have no choice. How to remain inside this Prakriti without affected by the Prakriti? That is Uddhava's question. And that is how this 23rd chapter began. You can see, Shri Bhadarayani Rivacham, Bhadarayani Uvacha. It says there. That Bhadarayani Uvacha. Some places you will see Shri Shuka Uvacha. And other places you will see Brahmana Uvacha, Krishi Uvacha. And here it says Bhadarayani Uvacha. Bhadarayani Uvacha. It's a very, very rare thing to say like that. Bhadarayani Uvacha. Sa eva masham sida muddhavena Bhagavada mukhyena dasharha mukhyam Sabhajayan vrityavacho mukundam Samabhabhashe Shravaniya Virya. Shravaniya Virya. So, because Uddhava has asked this question in the last chapter, and pray to Krishna, that Dasharha Mukhya, who is Uddhava? Bhagavata Mukhyena Dasharha Mukhya. That Bhagavata Mukhya, that Uddhava is representative of all the Bhagavatas, pure devotees, is representative of them, and is also Dasharha Mukhya. Dasharha is a race where he comes from that. So, in the Bhagavatam, when opulences are spoken, Vibhuti Yoga, you will see in the Bhagavatam, Vibhuti Yoga is spoken, at that time, Krishna says, Tomtu Bhagavadeshwaham, about Uddhava. Among the Bhagavatam, pure devotees, I am Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava, Tuntu Bhagavadeshwaham, he says. So, and to Arjuna also, Krishna says, among the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Krishna says that to Arjuna also. So, to Uddhava, Krishna says, among the pure devotees, I am Uddhava, he says to him. So, that Uddhava is asking Krishna and getting us this Ekadasha Skandha for our benefit. Uddhava doesn't need anything. Uddhava is, Krishna has recognized him. You are my first best devotee. What more do you want in this world? Isn't it? So, if you get a recognition from Krishna that you are my best devotee, then you don't need anything after that. Is it not? So, from there you can understand, Tumtu Bhagavadeshwaham, he says, and here Uddhava is asking all these questions then. For what? For people like us. For ordinary people like us. So, Uddhava says to Krishna that I had a good fortune, Uddhava says, to be with you for so many years. I was able to walk with you, to sit with you, to sleep in the same place, and take prasadam together, and joking together, play together, and lived a life in that way. So, what will others do after you have left this world? This was Uddhava's question. So, this is what Uddhava is asking, that the Ekadasha Skandham, the instructions itself is like that, in the very beginning. So, mentioned before, that Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandham without any concession on the truth. Truth spoken straightforward, without any mixing with anything else. In Bhagavad Gita, it is not that straightforward. There's this little bit of adjustments made there. It is like that. You can also see this when you have sometimes some distress in mind or some difficulties in mind. All you have to do is to take Srimad Bhagavatam and read these instructions to Uddhava. And if you have a little bit of trust and faith in Krishna's words, that words will clear up your doubts inside. Particularly when you have some difficulties in life, problems can always come. When you feel some disturbed or depressed about something or some kind of tension or anything, all you have to do is to take Srimad Bhagavatam and read Ekadasi Skanda, particularly from that 7th chapter onwards, where Krishna starts instructing Uddhava. You can see how everything is spoken very precisely, without any mixing with anything else. The truth is spoken straightforward, and you will feel a big relief at that time from the words of the Bhagavatam itself. So that is why Uddhava is asking these things. Bhagavatam Ekadasi Skandam has begin in that way. Uddhava is out of his compassion for us, feels for us, that after Uddhava had got everything what he wanted, and he's leaving. But he felt compassion for those who are coming afterwards. How are they going to get any benefit from this? So, so he says, Asena Samvisham Tishtan, that Uddhava had such a good fortune to spend so much time with Krishna. Like a shadow, he followed Krishna throughout life. Is it not? Toyoba Bukta Sraganda Vasalangara Charchidaha Uchishta Bhojino Dasa Tomaya Jayamahi. You will see in the 6th chapter at the end. Uddhava had a good fortune of eating Krishna's remnants all the time, and whatever dress Krishna has thrown away, Uddhava used to wear those dress all the time. And Uddhava always heard what Krishna had to say. Uddhava had to say. That means 24 hours is the greatest fortune what Uddhava had. And Uddhava says, by being with you, I have never felt how the time was spent. That 115 years, how it's gone through in a Krishna's association. And now the time has come to an end. It has come to an end. So those who had that good fortune to be with Krishna at that time, they were all escaped from this material world once for all. And this you will see, many, many realized souls, those who have spent the time with them, they will feel this inside them. Just because of their presence, how much they have benefited from that. Many, many great personalities who have very closely associated with them, they will tell you that the impact they had on them by these realized souls was such that it was a kind of a excited mood, which they never lost it throughout their life. They always felt that all the time, getting inspired from that words of the acharya or the personality. And that will never go away. And Uddhava is also explaining here, because of his compassion for us, he is saying to us that we had the good fortune, I had the good fortune to be with Krishna for 115 years, and so much association, close association, and I didn't know anything what was happening. But what will do to those who are coming later on, who will be absorbed in this material world? And what will they do? They will have their families, and they will have their own problems in family life, and all kinds of difficulties in them. And they will be struggling with their life in this world. How will they come out of that situation? This was Uddhava's, what is their hope? This is what Uddhava had to ask to Krishna. And that is why he says here, sa eva ashamsidam uddhavena. Uddhava's ashamsidena. Ashamsidena means that is what it is. Bhagavada mukhyena dasha arha mukhyaham sabhajayan vrityavajo mukundaham stamabhavashe shravaniya viryaham sabhajayan. That when Uddhava asked this question, sabhajayan vrityavajo mukunda, Krishna out of felt happy about it, that Uddhava has asked this question. Krishna had no plan to speak Ekadasi Skandam here in this world. But because Uddhava asked that question, Krishna felt that he should say something before he depart from this world. And therefore he decided to speak. And you will see the word tamabhavashe shravaniya virya. Shravaniya virya means, about everything about Krishna must be heard. Shravaniya virya. All the realized souls are all shravaniya virya. Shraniya Vidya, because their words have got that potency. Whatever they speak, it has a great potency in those words. Means knowledge and realization. It comes from their words. It comes from their words. That words have got its own power. It can change a person. It can change a person. And that words will, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, it will penetrate inside. Who? Krishna's words. It will penetrate inside. Whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not, that is not important. That is what that word is indicating. Shravaniya Virya. If you have heard it, that's enough. If you have heard it, that is enough. So, it will go inside, and it will go inside, and it will do what it has to do. It will do what it has to do. Because you can see this in the Bhagavad Gita. After Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Arjuna says to Krishna, I have forgotten everything what you have said. Like us. Arjuna says to Krishna, I have forgotten everything what you have said. Krishna says to Arjuna, don't worry about it, he says. So, Krishna says, don't worry about it. You have heard it, haven't you? He said, that's enough. Everything will be taken care of. Just see, when Krishna is saying something, we are thinking that, I didn't understand this. See, understanding doesn't mean anything. Understanding is all in the mind. But what you have heard, that it will go inside, and once it has gone inside, at the right time it will work, when it is necessary. Sahi dharma saparyapto brahmana padavedana, it says in the Upanishad. So, that is what is called viryam. See that word? Sharvaniya viryam. Viryam means, if you listen to Krishna's words as it is, the Krishna's words as it is, then it has got a viryam in there. Viryam means the potency. The potency is there. And that viryam comes from the Atma. It is a power of Atma. Atma's power that is. Atma's power that is. And it will work. And it will work. That's the way it is. That is why when normally I have heard always people like to listen to the class but not to the verses. That's a very wrong thing. It's the verses we have to hear more than the explanations. Explanations are of course necessary to help you to understand the verses. But verses are our most important part. So therefore, it's important we read these verses. In the next time when you come through Bhagavatam, we'll start with the verses. Verses are important. Because the potency of the verses, you won't find it in anywhere else. It is coming from Krishna's face, these words as it is, and it has its own potency. In Maharashtra, there was a great Mahatma once, and he had one disciple also, this Mahatma. So this disciple used to tell this Mahatma, whatever you are saying, it's all very interesting to listen, he says. But some things what you are saying, I'm not able to believe it, he said. It's always like that, isn't it? Certain things you find it very difficult. I know this problem is there. It is unavoidable. Like so many things what Prabhupada has spoken, very close people who are with Prabhupada find it difficult to accept it. They have a lot of difficulty in that, inside their mind. But they are living with it because they say we don't know what it is. In other words, finding it very hard to believe that. So he said the same thing to him. What should I do? You are saying so many things. Many of the things are very good. I like it. But certain things what you are saying, I'm not able to accept it. He said, inside, my mind is not accepting that. So this Mahatma told him that's what I am talking to you is my realization. From my realization I am talking to you. And if this what I have spoken, if you have heard that, it doesn't require that you have to believe it. You have to believe it. And it doesn't require the power of your belief or faith. It's not necessary. Because whether you believe it or not, or you have accepted it or not, you have heard it, haven't you? He said. And it has got inside. It has got inside. And it will start operating there forcefully. Forcefully, it will start operating there. This is how spiritual life works. This is the principle of spiritual life. Spiritual life is not whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, that is immaterial. Have you heard what Krishna is saying? It will go inside, it will have its effect, it will have its impact. And it will forcefully operating, it will start operating there, inside. And that is what is called viryam. The word viryam means that it's the power of the words of these great souls, realized souls and Krishna. All their words have got viryam in there. Sharvaniya viryaha, he says there. Tam abhavashe sharvaniya viryam. Viryam means that if you in relationship with the spiritual master, or in relationship with the realized souls, or in relationship with the Upanishads, what is spoken in the Upanishads, Brahma Vidya, in all of them, it has got its own viryam. What Upanishad words particularly, it has its own viryam there. Bhagavad Gita has its own viryam. Bhagavatam has its own viryam. Similarly, realized souls, their words, spiritual master, and all of them, they have what they call as viryam, sharvaniya viryam. And it will go inside and start working. It will start working. We may not know that, how it's working inside. So just like you can see here, sometimes many great souls, when they talk to the plants and the trees. And you may wonder, why is he talking to plants and the trees? In Yoga Vasishtam, when Ramachandra is instructing, being Vasishtha is instructing Ramachandra at that time, who are all come to see there? Siddhas have come, Charanas have come, Gandharvas have come. They were all coming and standing there and waiting and listening to what is being instructed to Ramachandra. Sri Ramachandra is listening to Vasishtha, and all these great souls had come from the heavenly planets and other great personalities, and they were standing and listening. Vasishtha could see that. Was a jnani, wasn't it? Realized soul. So, and they have all come to hear Brahma Vidya, Brahma Vidya's potency. So, that Sharaniya Vidya, similarly Krishna is speaking here, so that word that's coming from Krishna's lips has is Sharaniya Vidya. It has its own potency, whether you believe or not, whether you accept it or not, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. So, that is how it began. It says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Bharhaspatya Savinatra Sadurvai Durjaneri Dehi Durutter Bhinnamalmanam Yasamatha Dumishwaraha. So, there, he calls him as Bharhaspatya. Krishna is calling Uddhava as Bharhaspatya. Hey, Bharhaspatya. Bharhaspatya Savinatra. So, Uddhava was a student of Brihaspati, isn't it? He was Brihaspati's student. Therefore, he is called Bharhaspatya. Bharhaspatya. So, Bharhaspatya. So, there, he says here, that, Savainatra sadhuvai durjaneritaihi durukter bhinnam alpanam yasamathadum ishwara. Samathadum ishwara. A very nice statement. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, practically, he says that when you're getting insulted or offended heavily by others in the world, and it gets hit your mind or heart, it pierces your heart, at that time, able to control your mind and not respond to it, and those who can do that are very rare in this world. Krishna is saying that. Krishna is saying that when you are criticized or spoken rudely, able to listen to that without reacting to it, and able to control the mind and remain in a peaceful state, they are very, very rare. It's practically rare. Krishna is saying that. Then, he says there, you can even accept the arrows that's been shot at you by somebody on the body. You may be able to tolerate that. But when they start speaking to you with very powerful words in a critical way, criticizing way, that you can't even compare that with the pain that you will experience from the arrows. What Krishna says there, the harsh words can hurt you more than the pain that you will experience from the arrows. But he says here, still, Krishna says, there are people who have survived through that. There are people like that who have survived. So, and sometimes it's very difficult to tolerate that, but let me tell you a story, he says. And that's how Bhikshu Gita began. We'll go through that in a very short way. Natada tapya devidha puman bhane sumar magaihi yatha rudandi marmastam asadam parusheshavam. I'm saying, Krishna says, I'll talk to you about a Bhikshu story which we have discussed before, but we'll go through that again to keep us ourselves reminding that. So, it's a story of a sannyasi, he says, that who has done this very effectively. This, how he managed to handle that. And that requires a special strength. And what was that, what he was expecting from that was how the Bhikshu was able to control his mind in such a way that he found that it is possible to remain in peace even after exposed to all that thing what he went through in life. That is, Krishna was very impressed by that, that Bhikshu's reaction to that. That even though the world has given him so much difficulty, in spite of that, he was not affected by anything and still able to remain in a very, very peaceful state. How is that possible? That was the question what Bhikshu had. What Krishna was saying to Uddhava, it is possible. It is possible, he says, that one can remain in that state even if you are, and there are many, many examples. Let me tell you one story of a person who has done this. And that is how Krishna introduces this Bhikshu Gita to Uddhava. Kaschil klesharjidartam kshaya vimalam adir nudyamano janoghe prageva prahavipro kalumamadijanam kalagarmam grihavam. Melpatur said to Krishna this, that kaschil klesha, one verse, this whole Bhikshu Gita was summarized in the Narayaniyam. In one verse, he summarized the whole verse, whole story of Bhakti. And all what he said to Krishna was that all I am looking for is that peace of mind, what he experienced, who the Bhikshu. Give that to me, he says to Krishna. Melpatur said to Krishna, give that happiness to me, what you have given to Bhikshu. Kaschil klesharjidarte chay vimalamadir nudyamano janoge prageva prahavipra nakavilu bodhijanan kalakarma grahava chedome dukahedu. That all distresses come to him in one lot to him. And he says to Krishna, tadrishim chitta shandim. Mepatur says to Krishna, I'm looking for that shandi, what he felt. So, give me that shandi what Bhikshu has received. Give it to me, he said. That, because that is what we want, samadhanam or shandi inside. And that shandi, why they mention that word shandi? Shandi is the one which comes from the knowledge of the self. So, where was this Bhikshu? Bhikshu was in Avanti. He was living in the Avanti. In Ujjain, where there is that famous Shiva temple, Mahakaleshwar temple is there. And apparently that's where Krishna had his college education there. Went there. So that is where Sandivani Ashram was there at that time. Perhaps it has happened there at that time when Krishna was there. And possibly that's an incident which happened when Krishna was living there. So what do you understand from that? This is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is it so beautiful? Because we conduct courses, seminars, people sit together, run programs, this, that and the other, get certificate, go home. You don't see anything like that in the Bhagavatam, do you? Everything is so informal. Krishna is bringing an example of what he saw there, and he saw that that was something worthwhile to take on board in spiritual life. And he said this to Uddhava, everything in the Bhagavatam is like that. You see that? 24 spiritual masters. The Dattatreya Maharshi is wandering around and he is learning things on his own, spiritually making that realization from observing the world. That is spiritual life. Spiritual life, you can't package it and give it to somebody. That's a misunderstanding. You go to all these courses, seminars, you will remain as you are. Nothing will change. It's not possible. Till you yourself start picking up from the world these things. The lessons what we have to learn in our own spiritual life. You have to run your own spiritual life, not hand over to somebody else to do it. They can't do it for you. That's not practical. Whatever purpose institution is there, it is there. That you can't say anything about it. It can, there's some other purpose. But in your own spiritual life, if you are not taking it on yourself and learning things on your own, it's not going to happen. Nothing will happen. It will go on. Time will be wasted, in other words. That is the most important lesson. Krishna is saying here, he didn't say, there was a course I went to before in somewhere in Oxford, Cambridge or somewhere else. I heard this. No, I saw this in Ujjain, this happened. When I was in Sandivani Maharshi Ashram, at that time, this incident happened with this Brahmana, Bhikshu. This happened and I noticed from this. So what is the benefit from that? Because it shows to us, in this very world, if you are observant, you can learn things from here. In this world itself, observing people, many things to learn in spiritual advancement, spiritual side of it. So that our modern world is different. Modern world, what we try to do, everything we try to make it very systematic, organized way. Mic has to be there. All these machines has to be all around, fitting and recording and transmitting. All this is a part of the modern satsangam. But Krishna Satsangam, if you look, there was never any such arrangement. While going, Krishna says to Uddhava, come and sit down here, he said. And he told Uddhava to sit down and Krishna sat there and spoke Ekadasham to Uddhava. Nothing was pre-planned. This is how spiritual life will work. That's the only way it will work. It will never work the way we are trying to make it as a television program or Mayapur TV or whatever it was, whatever we are trying to do. It all becomes too formal. It is not allowed. That is not the system in Bhagavatam. Not one discussion you will find there. Everything is completely informal. Totally informal, isn't it? So, in Sanatana Dharmam, that is the system. This modern system is not acceptable. To be honest about that. It's not acceptable. This is not spiritual life in the way we are. It has become a sort of another stage-managed thing. You can see everything is stage managed, isn't it? When we how to impress the press, how to impress the public, for which you have to organize everything to suit that. Bring the right people, the right garland at the right time, the right cameraman with everything, and then produce the right newsletter and goes to the right television channel and show it to the world how everything is fantastic. But in essence, being zero. Absolutely no benefit. Absolutely no benefit. It goes like this, it will run like this, but you will see at the end, it won't have any impact inside. Whereas, in normal day life in this world, when you are experiencing something, when distress is coming in life, if you take Ekadasha Skandam and start reading, you will see some connection with Krishna at that time. Otherwise, you won't. You will study like chemistry and physics, and you have a all with your fluorescent tube pens, you marked all the important points and bullet points, everything. And I see sometimes when devotees do in all our modern, I'm saying, in our own ISKCON, wherever there is all these colleges where they are affiliated, Oxford and Lampeter, or what are they, in Wales and University, and in Radhadesh and all that, it's going in that way. The tendency is more to go make it more and more academically important. And it seems to me that that's the way they understood that. that they think that it is to be developed in this way, and everything is systematically done and organized, and so you write an examination at the end, and after that you pass. If you pass, answer all the questions, you get your certificate, and then you can keep it. But that is not very spiritual in that sense. So, Sanatana Dharma doesn't accept that. Krishna is saying here that I'm going to tell you a story of a Brahmana, what happened, what he has witnessed. This is how he's saying this. Such an important topic, this Bhitrugita in the Bhagavatam, it's coming in such a casual way in Krishna's life. That is the beauty. And that makes you realize it, that this is a normal thing, can happen to anybody in this world. It is possible in this world. And that presenting that Brahmana's life in such a way, it can happen to any one of us in the same way, isn't it? So, this person is born in a Brahmana family, but he was called as Brahmabandhu. Brahmabandhu means, that means Brahmana and Bandhun Vyabhidishadi Aha Brahmana Vrtha. In other words, his position is like this. Although he was born as a Brahmana, he didn't live the life of a proper Brahmana. And he had all the bad habits in him. That is what Krishna, you see there, Krishna says there. Avandi Shuddhuja Kaschil, sixth verse. Dasi Adhyadama Shriyaha Vartavruti Kadaryastu Kami Lubdhodi Kopanaha. So, here, when we say he has bad habits, he was a very wealthy person. But what was his bad habits? He was not like Ajamila bad. Ajamila's bad habits were different. Remember? In the sixth canto, Ajamila. Ajamila's problem was that he had contact with that prostitute, and other bad habits he picked up from there. This Brahmana didn't have any such problems. He was alright on that side of it. But those kind of bad habits which Jamila had, this Brahmana didn't have. Our Bhikshu didn't have. What was his greatest misfortune? Miserliness. Too miser. Very, very miser. Won't give it to anybody anything. And they are mentioned there that what did they say? Conjuice or something, isn't it? So, highly selfish and highly concerned about himself. So, the Krishna says there, what was his occupation? Vartavruti. Vartavruti, because normally they are supposed to have Vaidhyavruti, isn't it? Instead it was Vartavruti. Vartavruti means that Vedam, normally they are supposed to have reciting the Vedam or studying the Vedam, something like that. No. Vartavruti means finance company. Banking. Not like they have beaten all these people who are now the bankers. So giving cash or money on interest. Giving on interest, isn't it? So that is why he says Kadaryastu Kami Lubdho Adhikopanaham. So because these people who have that kind of profession, lending money and very high interest rates, giving it to people, and there'll be very calm desires inside, anger and greed. All the three things were present in him. It's very high degree, high level. And because of his miser nature, in the Bhagavatam you will notice that those who are doing that kind of business, Bhagavatam says it's a place for where Kali will remain, isn't it, Kali? So because of these things, because they are negative qualities in a person, and even though you may have any other good quality, the problem with this is, if you have this kind of occupations, that even if you have any good quality, you may have some good quality, but if you are engaged in these occupations, your mind will never be peaceful. This is the problem with this kind of engagement. Mind will never be peaceful. You will always feel disturbed mind. you don't have any bad qualities as such, but because of the occupation, what you are absorbed in that. And if you ask the reason for that, it's very difficult to say why it is like that. But generally, it is seen like that. The mind will always be disturbed mind. That will be the nature. Just like there is no solution to that problem. For example, gambling. Gambling, if you say about gambling, people don't like it very much, is it not? Because it is deep down in the society to such an extent. Now, share market is a gamble. It's a gambling, isn't it? But what happens in the society, if some people have recognized it, government says it's okay, they are floating the shares, and similarly all the whole financial system is dependent on this share market business. And therefore, they have all accepted that. That means society has accepted that. Financial Times is there, Economist is there, they'll tell you which one to buy, which one to sell. And it has become totally acceptable in the society. So everybody says it's okay. Society has accepted it, isn't it? So, but because society had accepted it, doesn't mean it has become dharmam. It's not dharmam, it is. Society may have accepted it. That's another thing. But it's not dharmam. That's what you have to remember. It's not dharmam. So basically, it is a system whereby you can make fast money without working very hard, is it not? By manipulating and by all your other... So that is what is called Vartavati. See that word? Avandishu dijakaschil asit adhyadamashriyaha Vartavati. Vartavati means this. Stock market, share market, lending money heavily at higher tax rates, higher interest rates. So practically, kyuk buck. So some or the other, his prarabdham was such, a lot of money came in that way, in his life. But the problem was that he won't spend anything, hold on to that, all the wealth. And not only he won't even enjoy himself with all this money what he has got, because money will be spent then, isn't it? Money will go. He enjoys keeping, building up a huge amount of money in the bank. That much miserliness inside. Some people have like that. Tremendous devotion towards money. And many, many big people you will find this nature in them. And it is a kind of a problem with the mind. If you feel so much devotion to the money. And there was some news, sometimes some very big person, very wealthy person, sometimes people go for fundraising to his house, asking for some charity purpose or something. He will give a very smallest amount, what is possible to him. And that too, you'll have to talk a lot before you can get out of him. So, there are people like that in the society. And sometimes you will see, some people, they're not wealthy. But they'll give freely. That also you will see in this world. In this very world you will see that. So, what is the reason behind it? Because some people have experienced that happiness by giving. Experience the happiness of giving to the world. And that you have to experience by giving only. You will know that. Otherwise you won't know it. And they don't want to know that. Others also, they don't want others to know. They're just happy to give and free themselves from that debt. And that is a sadhana. That is a sadhana in spiritual life. This is a sadhana in spiritual life. That is why Krishna is pointing out there. Because he says here that you can see that that if you accept that principle, example is given, you know, when you go to Prayag in India, and when you are crossing that Ganga River there, many of the boats are very, very old boats. They've got holes in there, in the boats. So when you are crossing the river, the water is coming in to the boat. And you start thinking, will I get to the other side the way it's going on? No, what happens is, there will be two or three people who are managing one boat. So two people, their job is to take the water and throw it out. So water is getting flooded in the boat and somebody is emptying the boat all the time. Money is like that. When it's coming, if you build it up, it will cause problems later. Artham, anartham. Bhagavatam says very clearly, if you build up too much, it will cause problems. And therefore, when if it is coming, because prarabdham brings money in life to people, it's not that somebody is so, it is all decided what is one is going to get it in this life and one is not going to get it. When the money is coming like that, the principle is you should keep emptying it all the time. Otherwise, this problem will come. So, so here, that is the role in finance as far as Sanatana Dharma is concerned. So, if you allow the money to come through a particular channel, if it is coming inside, it will keep coming. And if it is coming, there is only one way left, that you take it and start pouring it outside, whichever way it is possible. So, otherwise the boat will sink. Boat will sink. And if you allow that to build up, it will sink the whole life. So, somehow or the other, we have to learn how to make ourselves free in this world. We are thinking all the money is staying in the bank. Isn't it? Bank accounts, this deposit, this investment, that it's investment. Actually, it is not sitting in the bank. It is in our nerves. It is in our ego. And it is present in our all the cells and in the body. It is present inside us. All that what we have acquired in this world. So, there was an interesting question about this. One sannyasi was asked this question. Actually, it was Shivananda, Swami Shivananda, asked this question. One of his disciples asked this question to him. So, he said, you say that you have to give in charity, things in charity. How far should one give charity? This was the question he asked. Shivananda Swamiji says to him that you have to give that much that you should feel pain in your own mind. You should feel hurt. Say, for example, one has got 10 million pounds, and if he gives 5 pounds to somebody, he's not going to get hurt, is it not? He's not feeling anything about it. So, the principle is this. Shivananda Swamiji's word was that Shivananda Swamiji says to him that you should give that much that you feel hurt. Inside that, it is a lot that I could give that much. To that extent, it should hurt you inside. And to that extent, you should give. That was the principle. That was the principle. Some people can give, for example, if you have, say, 50,000 pounds and if you have given 10 pounds to somebody, that's not a pain. But if you have 10,000 pounds and you have given 5,000 pounds in that to somebody, then you will feel that I have given something. You manage to release yourself through that. Some hangaram has gone that way. So, only in that case, it has actually touched you. It has actually touched you. Only, that means it has touched what? Touched your ego. Touched your ego. Till then, you have done something good, but without harming the ego. You have done something good, but without harming the ego. When you do good, it has to harm the ego. And it has to give some pain to the ego. Where is it getting hurt? When you give, your ego is getting hurt. Then it has to hurt the ego. Up to that extent you should give. That is the principle. That is the principle. So, if I give so much, what will happen? That's a lot. If you thought that comes to your mind, then that is harmful. And if you feel that, I have given so much, it's a lot. And it has made you think a little bit or feel hurt by that. That much if you give, it will have some benefit. Because all what is happening is when you give, that ego is surrendering to Krishna. Ego is surrendering to Krishna. And all other things, you can correct it later with knowledge. When you do such things, and if you are getting hurt inside by giving that charity, that pain what you are feeling, everybody feels this. When you are feeling any pain inside, that can be corrected with knowledge. But ego won't go otherwise unless this mood builds up inside. What Krishna is, that is what this whole chapter is about. Krishna is practically telling us that this Bhikshu story is only for this purpose, to make us aware that our grip in this world is very, very strong. We won't loosen it. No matter how much we say Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all that, till we get this grip a little bit loose inside, it is not possible to move further. So always to think that let it go. After all, it's going for Krishna's purpose. It's Krishna's wealth anyway. It has come to me, but that can be corrected later. And once you will see that, once you are given something for a purpose which is worthwhile, of course, you will see a great happiness coming from inside. To develop a relationship with Krishna is not easy. There are so many opportunities in life, but people may not always become aware of that. That is the season. So, also another thing was that when you are giving, there is another trouble that only when you start giving, you will know these things. Because Upanishad says, how you give it, accordingly it comes back. Not only that, sometimes it can come two or three times. In this world, in Vyavaharam particularly, you can see that. You have no control over in many situations. With your best planning, things can go wrong. Things can go wrong also. So, you should not give thinking that it will come back later, twice or thrice, in that way. out of your heart, you have to give. But, it may come back in some other path, another channel. That happiness may come back in another channel with Krishna's grace. Because that is the law of Prakriti, material nature's law. As much as you give, the more it will come back in some form or the other. So, those who don't give it and who holds it or hoards it, their money or wealth can also go one day. Without any protection, it can go. So, that is another statement about that. There is one more interesting thing about it. These are all in relationship with giving. It is concerned in the Bhagavatam. Mahabharatam, Bhishma says, it is not compulsory that you have to give charity. It is not compulsory. And, provided you don't have anything. Suppose you don't have anything, you don't have to give charity. Because, if you don't have anything, best thing is that rather than giving in charity is not to collect, not to acquire it, the wealth. If you don't acquire the wealth, you are free. You are not bound to give charity. But if the wealth has come, but if you don't give charity, that's bad. That's the way it is. Bhishma's point that in Bhishma Mahabharatam he says there, these are the secrets of Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma, these are important principles. If you don't have the money to give anything in charity, just living on the very bare minimum, nobody is expecting that. You have to give it. But if you have it, but you don't give it, that is considered to be artham and artham. It will bring, cause more distress in life, sometime or the other. So, Sanatana Dharma, Bhishma says there, yajñartham yasya viteha, varam tasya nirihada, prachalanavadehi pangasya, duram asparshanam varam. Bhishma statement. He says there, if you have it in hand, wealth is there, give in charity. But if you don't have anything, don't give anything. You don't have to give anything. So, and if you don't have it enough to live in this world, you can ask from others. Not for lavish life, but for food and survival in this world. These are underlying principles. Charity you can ask also, and you can ask in a very honorable way. So, one who gives at that time, he gets benefited. He gives benefit at that time. These are all in relationship with the charity in this chapter. So, this miserliness is a kind of a mental disease, that is. Being miser is a mental disease. So, I mentioned the story before, how Rockefeller and Vivekananda met. I don't know whether you, any of you Google and looked at that, what it says. Yeah, so, Rockefeller became a philanthropist in this way. Rockefeller was not a philanthropist. He was like our Bhikshu before. Didn't want to spend anything. Won't spend a penny. So, and he went to hear Vivekananda's talk. Vivekananda told him that miserly people will never have any peace of mind any time. He said that. Rockefeller got very angry about it. And he went to see Vivekananda later, after the program was over. So, and when he went there, he didn't want to disturb the Swamiji. There was somebody there. He said that Swamiji is very busy, don't disturb him. But Rockefeller, being his ego inside, is so strong, he walked in without even announcing his arrival. So he went inside, knocked the door and went inside straight away. So at that time, Vivekananda was writing something. And without even looking at Rockefeller, Vivekananda kept writing there. At that time, Rockefeller sat there thinking that Vivekananda will stop writing and look at him. But Vivekananda kept continue writing at that time. So he got a shock. Why is he acting like this to me? He said. So he got angry and he left. He didn't even speak to Vivekananda. He walked away from there. And after going back, something changed in his mind. He heard the talk, you see. And he heard from Vivekananda. And after hearing all that, he thought about it. And he decided he's going to give a huge amount of money for some philanthropic activity. And he donated a huge amount of money in charity. And he collected the receipt from that and went back to Vivekananda again. And he threw the receipt on Vivekananda's table and looked at him. Vivekananda looked at him at that time and smiled and told him, "Now you can thank me." He says, "Because I made you do it. I made you do it." So that was the opening of Rockefeller Foundation. Rockefeller opened his foundation at that time. And it is after that he started giving freely. And in America you can see this has become a huge thing. These philanthropic foundations, isn't it? All the American presidents, they start this foundation. Possibly Rockefeller was the first person who has started this. Others, Ford formed later. And then other president, Bill Gates and Clinton and President Clinton, they all started foundations, remember? They all have a huge wealth, but they learned this. They said there is something in it, in this giving business, to learn from. They are intelligent people, they are not stupid. They are intelligent people and they have money. But they realized it that money should be given, not to hold on to that. That realization, they have got it from them. So, because once you start giving, there is an anandam that comes from that, from giving from that. And then they started getting it. He started getting the Rockefeller. And that is how he started giving. So, here you'll see that this Bhikshu didn't have that. That happiness he didn't have. But he was very wealthy. Our Brahmana was very wealthy. But won't give anything to anybody. And he also had all these problems, which one? Lust, anger, greed, and illusion. All these things were there. That is what he says there. Yadayo adhidayastasya vangmatrena abhinarchidaha shunyavastha almabhikale kamei anarchidaha shunyavastha. Shunyavastha means a vacuum inside. Emptiness. Where is this emptiness coming from? Because of this. It's a kind of emptiness inside. So that emptiness is saying, Yadayo adhidayastasya vangmatrenabhi narchidaha shunyavastha almabhi kale kamei anarchidaha. So, is the mind of the person, how it becomes like that, closed mind, in other words. These days, a lot of people who have made money, they make huge houses, isn't it? Big buildings, big houses they build, and they occupy that. And particularly in the new rich, you will find this a lot. That they will, while they build the houses, they consult this vastu, you know, the science behind construction of the house. That means you are looking through the shastram how to build the house properly. So they will say to them that give us the design of the house in such a way that the guests don't come. No guest should come into the house. In such a way, you should build a house. If you build a house like that, if you don't want guests to come, the ghosts will come. That's what will happen. Guests won't come, but the ghosts will start coming. So, the Shastram is saying that guests should come into the house. And Vedam says, let many more guests come to the house. This is how the Vedam says. Vedam says, let as many guests as possible come to the house. So our Brahmana doesn't want any guest to come to the house. So that's why he said, Krishna is saying here, making fun of him, Krishna says, Vang matrena abhi narchidaha. Even if the guests don't come, at least you can tell, come down sometime. visit us sometime, for a meal, or come home once and visit us sometime. At least some words you can say to people. Even that he won't do. Our Brahmana won't do that. He was, because it costs money. If somebody comes, he says, at that time, what will I do? I can't make money at that time. So his mind is working in a completely way. So one man said once that, do you want to have dinner with me? Then I will come to your house for a dinner, he said. If you want to have dinner with me, I'll come to your house and can have dinner together, he said. So that is a modern system, isn't it? So practically in the house there was nothing auspicious happening. Everything was like that, more like a ghost haunted place. So he says there, Dushi ilasya kadaryasya druhyande putra bandavaha dara duhidaro brithya vishanna nacharan priyam. Vishanna nacharan priyam. So everybody is observing us all the time, isn't it? In other words, in the, at family life particularly, the householder is being observed by the wife, by the children, how he is managing the affairs of the house, whether any guests are coming to the house or nobody is coming to the house. Children will also become like that, isn't it? So naturally the whole family members also hated him because he didn't want to spend any money. He had servants at home, but he'll only give them food, the very bare minimum, and won't do anything else for them when they are in difficulties, won't look after them. So in the Buddha story, Bauddha Katha, there is a story like this. In Bauddha Katha, it's very interesting to read Buddha stories. Bauddha Katha you can buy in the books, you will see there. So there is a story that there is one person. He was also very miser person. And his wife was also naturally very weak, and because he won't even give her enough food to eat, was not cared for properly. So, and he won't give her also any good food, not to the workers also, and he was particularly very miser, like the way Bhikshu was. So one day he was walking through the street. So in the street they were selling sweets. Various kinds of sweets were sold in the shops. So somehow or the other his attention fell on one particular sweet that's made there in that sweet shop. So he wanted to have it. He thought, rather than buying, I'll have it made at home. Wife will make it. If I tell her, it'll work out cheaper. So our mind has worked in a completely different way. So because it'll cost money if you buy from the shop, he decided that he will have it made at home. He came home and he called his servants and told them that I want to make that sweet, and all the ingredients what's necessary for that, you go and buy that from the shop and bring it home, he said. And he told the servant, go and inquire from the shop what's it made of and buy all that and bring it home. So the servant went and bought from the shops everything what was necessary to make those sweets and brought it home. And then he told his wife to make it, that sweet, what he... She knew, of course, what to do that. So the wife felt very happy. Wife says that, oh, at least today, wife, husband has said something to do, proper thing, to cook something nice. And wife says to him, I'll make it for everybody, for the whole family, husband, children, everybody. So he says, no. He says, not for everybody, he says. Said, because you don't have the desire, only I have the desire. That was his logic. He's saying, you don't have the desire. The desire came to me. In your mind, it didn't come. So I don't want to create unnecessary desires in your mind. So you only make it for me. He says to her. So when he said like that, she said, what about the children? Oh, no, they don't need all these things. Don't develop any bad habits in them. He says to her like this. Anyway, and then he didn't want any of them to see them making this. So he says to the wife, we'll go to the terrace and start making it there. And he started, anyway, she did less a good wife. She started making everything what he wanted to make. And while she was making, he will keep an eye. Is she taking anything out of it? Eating it. So he was keeping an eye on her as well. So, such a miserly person he was. This is the Buddha stories, you will read this. So, it was at that time that almost everything was made. A Buddha Bhikshu comes there for Sannyasa Bhikshu. There was a lot of Buddha Bhikshus there at that time. They came, and at the correct time he arrived when this was made. And this person told him, there's nothing here, he said, to give you. He says, nothing here. But he was not going. He stayed back. He insisted that. He says, whatever he tells him, he was not willing to leave. He says, I need something. You have to give it to me, he said. And I want some bhiksha, I said. So he went and told his wife that out of all the sweets you have made, take out the smallest one from that. Bring it out and give it to him and send him away. So they have made, say, about 25 or 50 pieces of these different sweets. So when she took out one from that, the smallest one, the whole thing comes out together. The whole 40, 50 of them together, it comes in one piece. It's not able to separate them out. And no matter what he tries to do, he's not able to separate. She's not able to separate them. And Sannyasi saw that they were all upstairs. He came up to upstairs and he sat there. He sat there. And it's not able to break up. And at that time, this our householder realized that this bhikshu is not an ordinary bhikshu. He must have saw something in this, behind it. He got doubtful about that. And so he says to him that that I will give you what you want. But Sannyasi said to him, Buddha is sitting here, not far away from here, underneath the tree. And along with Buddha, there were so many other sannyasis as well, bhikshus. Sannyasis are also with him, all his disciples. We are all his disciples, he said. So, let's take it there and give it to everybody there. So, this is the first time in his life he's going to give to somebody something, isn't it? So, he took all these sweets, what he was, and when he went there, there was about 2,000 people there, sitting there with Buddha, sitting there. And he, with these 50 sweets what he has made, he started giving to them, and the plate was always full. It was never getting emptied. And he was in a shock, why this is happening. And when he was giving, and he has given to all these 2,000 people who are present there, he felt extremely happy inside. Some kind of happiness he experienced, which he never experienced before in his life. Because this first time in his life, he learned how to give rather than take from the world. So, that happiness, and whatever he has given to all of them, still the plate was full. Till the plate was full. So, never getting finished. And he felt that happiness from that day, which he never gave up. He learned that lesson from there. So, this story in relationship with this bhikshu. Bhikshu also never gave anything to the wife or the children. Always kept to himself. And that is why it's called Yakshavittam. Remember? It says there. Tasya evam yakshavittasya chudasyo ubhayalokata dharmam kamavihinasya chukrudu panjabhagina. Tasevam yakshavittasya chudasyo ubhayalokata dharma kamavihinasya chukrudu panjabhagina. Krishna is giving a little bit more insight into this. He is saying to us that this is called Yakshavittam. Yakshavittam means that where the story is coming from. Yakshavittam is, there was a story that in 7 jars gold was filled and it was given to a barber. To a barber. In 7 jars gold was filled and given to the barber. When the barber looked at them, one yaksha comes and gives this to the barber. Yaksha, one of the higher species, comes and gives this 7 bottles of gold to the barber. So barber opened that and he looked at that. All 6 of them were full, but the 7th one was only 3/4 full. Only 3/4 full. So what he thought was, if all the 7 bottles were full, it will be good. He sensed like that. And so whatever gold he had at home, his wife's chain and jewelry, everything, he sold, put all that into this jar to fill it. But it is not filling up. Finally, he sold his house also to buy gold and to fill the jar, but it's not getting filled in. So, ultimately he started feeling a certain kind of poverty in life. It's kind of poverty in life. So somebody mentioned to him that gold in that jar, what you have got is yakshavitam. Yakshavitam means that something you can't use it. You got money, but you can't use it. Situation happens in life like that. Some people have got a lot of wealth, but they can't use it. It is stuck in so many different ways in different places. And they will leave this world in that way. They can't do anything about it. That is yakshavitam. Yakshavitam means that money what you have, but you can't use it. It is there in so many places, in so many investments and so many deposits and this, that and the other, but you can't use it. So that is called yakshavitam. Yakshavitam it is called. You can see in the modern world, lot of it is yakshavitam. Like young people, they have, because of the system, economic, the way we operate in this world, because money can come by borrowing money from the banks and the billing societies and various ways, credit card, business and all. Some people are drawing a huge amount of money in salary, but they don't have any money with them. It's all gone in different ways, isn't it? So, and you will be amazed that they are earning so much, but if a necessity comes, they don't have any money with them. They don't have any money to spend. So, and compare this, some 50, 60 years ago, a person who was very poor, had a very simple job in the office or in a bank or something like that, some little thing. He managed to, he had four or five daughters, get them married, and had a house, and he retired, and he was able to live a peaceful life after retirement with his little pension, whatever he has. He was not affected. But many, many people in this world, today, modern world particularly, if you observe carefully, you will notice that many of them have got money in their account, but when they need to have cash for anything purpose, they are not able to use it, for whatever reason it may be. And then accepting bankruptcy very easily, to declare bankrupt and escape from this world in that way. So, here, that this is quite common now in the modern world. Young people particularly acquired wealth, getting a lot of money in salary and all that, but as far as the, because their expenses and other things, the way they live, altogether, in such a way the money is blocked up in so many different ways, it's all yakshavitam. It's all yakshavitam. So, this is what is the maya. That's what is called maya. You will think that you are getting a lot of things. You are acquiring a lot of things in life. Some illusion in the head. I got big house, I got a big car, I'm driving this, I'm on holiday, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So many things, but in reality, person is empty. So, that is why. And therefore, there is no shanti, there is no samadhanam, peace inside. So, many instances you can see the money has also been acquired in the wrong way. And no purpose at all. So, that's what Krishna is saying here. Tasevam yakshavittasya chudasyo ubhayalo kadaha dharmakama vihinasyam chukrutho panchabhaginaham. So, such a person, Krishna is saying, that person who lives that kind of life, for him, he will not be happy in this world, nor even after leaving the body. Ubhayalogada. Ubhayalogada means neither this world nor the next world he will be happy, either way. So, he does not have a spiritual life either, neither have a material life. He doesn't have a material life or a spiritual life. So, some people are like that. You can observe that in this world. They neither have a proper material life either. And if you say that morally or spiritually they have anything in life, also they don't have anything. So, spiritual life also. So, some people, they'll come to spiritual life and then lead a material life. They'll come to spiritual life and then they will lead a material life. Because after coming to spiritual life, then they want to acquire a name in this world, fame in this world, a name and fame, and this is what will happen to them. This ubhayalogada, brishtas ubhayalogada, means that neither material life they had anything. They didn't have a proper material life. That means dhanam, dharmam, which is meant to happen in the normal household life, they didn't have that. But then they will try to live in a such a way that they want some recognition in the world, name and fame in this world and followers and all that. So their fate is like this, that their material life won't be happy and their spiritual life also will be waste of time. Neither way they will go up in life. So, because spiritual life is supposed to bring bhakti inside, bliss, anandam inside, shanti inside. If those things are not developing inside, then that's something wrong with their spiritual life. That's the way it is. Spiritually, if we are growing, anandam, bhakti, shanti, samadhanam, these things must be there inside. If it is not happening inside, there's somewhere something wrong in that. And often it happens to these people who live a life like this, which is a duality. They come to a spiritual life, but instead of living a proper spiritual life, they have material desires inside, operating very strongly, a name and fame and followers and recognition and everything. And that is disturbing them inside. So spiritually they are not able to make any further headway in their life. So their goal is recognition here in this world. And such people, they will never have any peace inside. They will have any peace. So it is a warning for those who have come to spiritual life. It's a strong warning to those who have come to spiritual life. Because either we should live a life in this world with proper moral values and in the pravritti margam. That means like a householder you live, you earn your living in the proper way and follow the rules, and to the extent possible you accept that you are living a material life, and whatever little you are able to offer to the spiritual side, you offer that. That is the one right way to do. Otherwise, if you want to live, give up everything and come to Nivritti Margam, this is two things, isn't it? Pravritti and Nivritti. Pravritti Margam is living in this world, engaging in karma, engaging in the proper way conducting their life. That is Pravritti Margam. Nivritti Margam is that there your asset is dharmam, shanti, bhakti, self-realization, bhagavad anubhuti. These are the goals there. Not recognition in the world, name, fame, followers, all these things are useless there. There is no value to it in the other life, in the Nivritti Margam. So either in the Pravritti or in the Nivritti, one has to do what's the right thing there. So we should not go and put our feet in anything else, because it will cause this problem. One has to be able to sit alone and chant the holy name, engage in meditation, anushtanam, and able to take out that bliss, what is inside, able to bring it out from inside, to bring out that feeling of self-realization from within. And that is antariyam. It is inside, internal that is. And it is for that purpose we are sacrificing everything else in this world. Everything else in this world. But if you don't have that also, and if you don't have proper material life either, that is what Krishna is saying there. Chudasyo ubhaya logada. See that? Tasya evam yakshavit tasya chudasya ubhaya logada aha dharma kama vihi nasya chukradu panjabhaginaha. So ubhaya brasha. So that person, he doesn't have a material life either. His material life is also because all this money what he has acquired, he won't enjoy it. He won't use it. And there are many, many people like that. And sometimes you will see this among big business people also. They have that nature, that they have that acquiring nature like that, developed a lot of wealth, create a lot of wealth, but at the same time they are so wealthy, but at the same time if you look at the way they live in this world, they live too simple, they die in this world, acquired a lot of wealth, and they left this world and gone away from here. Sometimes you will see some interesting news like that. There was once a news about one beggar. He was begging. He was used to begging. His father also was begged, and he borrowed. People used to give him money for that. And a lot of money was given, and everything was put underneath the box, what he was sitting there. one day that was his profession, collected. One day he died and gone. So somebody came and kicked that box and opened it, and there was so much money there, in there. And whole life he has been begging. And somebody else came and picked up everything and left. So Ubhayabhrashta means that he didn't have a proper material life, he didn't have a spiritual life either. He just sat there and begged and collected and collected and accumulated and left. So, therefore it says, Tasevam yakshavittasya chudasya ubhayalokada dharma kama vihinasya chukradu panchabhagina. So, our Brahmana, his problem was, he did not do what he should be doing. And he didn't have that anushtanam. Anushtanam means this steady duties, what he has to perform. No proper ajaram, what he has to follow. And he was not doing that, what he was meant to do. On the other hand, was he materially happy? Neither that. So this is dharma kama vihinasya chukrudhu panchabhagina. We have all these debts that manushya hranam, deva hranam. We have obligations towards various living entities, to other human beings, to the demigods, to the animals, to the rishis, sages, all of them. He didn't do anything. He didn't give to anybody anything. You have debt to all these people, isn't it? All these people. So, because he didn't give anything, they all got upset with him. Krishna is saying that. They all got upset with him. That's why you see that. Tadavadhyanam visrasta punyaskandasya bhuridaha atopyagachanidhanam bahuayasa parishramaha. The Brahmana's situation. Then tadavadhyanam visrasta punyaskandasya bhuridaha and atopyagachanidhanam bahuayasa parishramaha. So, bahuayasa parishram means that he has put a lot of effort to create all this wealth. But after a while, the wealth started going in one way or the other. We are thinking that if we collect and accumulate, it will remain forever, isn't it? And so therefore, sometimes you will see some people, they won't even tell their children how much they have got in the bank. And they will, in the olden days, there was no banking system like that. They will used to dig in the bedroom. Holes, and they will put it inside and cover. They won't tell their even children that the money is there. So, but suddenly when something happens and they die and go from this world. So many times, even today, these days it's happening that people have acquired wealth, they didn't want to give it to anybody, kept in the bank, and then they die and they're gone. And this whole thing is gone. And then later on, if the children find out, they will curse the parents. The various children will curse the parents. That without telling us, he has gone and stored all this money, and sometimes the relatives, they will fight for each other, all these things. So sometimes you can see that relatives, they will come and get something signed and take it away from you. So and certain things were taken away in that way from the family. So in the modern world, it has become a little bit more sophisticated. Mentality hasn't changed. This was talked at a time when these sophisticated systems were not existing. Now we have everything so sophisticated, but nobody trusts anybody anymore in this world. Parents doesn't trust the children, children doesn't trust the parents, husband doesn't trust the wife, wife doesn't trust the husband. This is what we are seeing now everywhere. Krishna is explaining that how artham can create the greatest anartham. The very artham, that is why one has to be careful about artham. Why Sanatana Dharma says don't accumulate. If you accumulate, you should know, like you are emptying the boat, you should keep on emptying it. If you don't have it, nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Shastram doesn't say anything wrong. Prarabdham has given you only that much, be satisfied, no complaints at all. But acquired wealth has come and feeling shelter there, that is the biggest danger. If you feel shelter in that wealth, that is the biggest problem also. As long as there is shelter in the wealth, you won't feel, Krishna consciousness won't come in that mind. It's not possible. So, here, 11th verse, you see. Nyatayo jagruhu kinjil kinjil dasyava uddhava daivadaha kaladaha kinjid brahma bandhor nrupartivad. 11th verse. Nyatayo jagruhu kinjil kinjil dasyava uddhava daivada kalada kinjil brahma bandhor nrupartivad. Brahma bandhor nrupartivad. So, some money the thieves have stolen from them. Something the servants they have stolen, and like this the money of what that Brahmabandhu, that Brahmana had, was all taken away, and he is almost 80 years old. He was gone old. Most of the money has gone in his life. Look at that time. That is Krishna's grace. At that time, what happened? By Krishna's grace, everything has gone. Everything has gone. So, due to some samskaram from previous life, that is how it is. Samskaram inside him, which is very difficult to define, why clearly. But due to the power of that samskaram, at this point in time in his life, vairagyam came in his life. Vairagyam came. It is not easy to get this thing called vairagyam. We can talk about it for hours together. But to get that vairagyam inside is not easy. It doesn't happen easily. And that is some samskaram that has come with that Brahmana. Brahmana says there that it is Krishna's grace alone. Because he could not himself find out why it has happened. When the money is gone, normally what will a person do at that age in life? 80 years old, almost quite old. And the whole life he spent building up this money. And that's all gone. Taken by the king, taken by the thieves, taken by the workers, taken by everybody who can get hold of anything. They all took it away. And he has become old. He can't even earn anymore anything. That is his situation. For his own living, he didn't have the money. That was the state of affairs. And at that time, particular time in life, only if you are put on the spot, you will learn these lessons. This cannot be explained and get this understanding. You have to be put on spot. On the spot, you have to experience it. Only then you will know what it means, isn't it? So, he is saying there, vairagyam happened to me. Look at that 13th verse. Tasyevam dhyayato dirgham nashtaraya tapasvinaha khidyado bashpakandasya nirvedam sumahanabhut. Nirvedam. Nirvedam means vairagyam. Vairagyam came in his life for the first time. This vairagyam won't come very easily. Everybody won't get it. Because if vairagyam comes to a person, that means that he must have some grace from Krishna in order that vairagyam to come. Normally, you can see in our own life, when there is a setback in life, we are not getting vairagyam from that, are we? We are trying to react to that situation. What Krishna is saying there, if vairagyam comes to you from an experience in life, any experience in life, if you are experiencing some vairagyam from that, that is Krishna's grace. That is Krishna's grace, that is. So, vairagyam happens, and when everything is lost, vairagyam came to him. Krishna is saying here, or Krishna has mentioned this in the Bhagavadam at least three times, three different places. Krishna is saying there, if I want to bless someone, first thing what I do, wherever he has attachment, I will pluck it out from him. Wherever his attachment is there. When Krishna says, when I want to bless somebody, first thing what I do, when Krishna wants to bless someone, first thing what he does is, Krishna see where his attachments are, he will hit you there. That is the way Krishna operates. Prakriti operates in this world. Krishna says, that's the law I follow. In three places in the Bhagavadam, he says there, wherever he is feeling stuck or sticking to something, relationships, money, home, name, fame. If you have a good name, Krishna makes sure that you get a very bad name. You'll get hit so badly that you don't want a name in this world. Number one. If you have a lot of wealth, Krishna will take the wealth away. If you have some attachment to somebody in some form, in the family or members or anything, right in the middle, he'll hit you there. In such a way that you'll start thinking about it. All these relationships, what it means. So somehow or the other, in order to change that attention from the world inward, to go inside, that's the only way it will work. Otherwise it cannot work. And that is the problem Krishna is saying here. That is how I bless people. Krishna is saying this. This is how I bless my blessing is like that. My blessing is like that. If you look into the third canto, you will see there that in the Kapilopadesham, Kapila Maharshi's instructions to Devahuti Devi, if you look that in the 27th chapter, there is a verse Krishna is using there. Kapila Maharshi says there, he says that sixteenth verse. Evam pratyavam rishyasam almanam pradivadyade sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraham. 3:27:16. There is a number of verses there in the Krishna is talking about Sri Bhagavan Vaja, beginning from prakristovi purusho sajjade prakritir gunai avigarat agartrutva nirgunatvar janarkavat. And there you will see the fourth verse. Artehi avidyamanevi samsirdarna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya sukne anarthagamo yada. That verse, which is the fourth verse, Krishna has spoken here to Uddhava also, just in the last chapter. Very important verse that is. Artehi avidyamanevi samsirdarna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya sukne anarthagamo yada. So, continuing that is where Krishna said, ya eshayarhi prakritir guneshu abhivishat jade aham kriya vimudhalma kartasmi tyabhimanyade. Same verse in the Bhagavad Gita, that prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. That verse Krishna has brought here. Kapila Maharshi says here, aham kriya vimudhalma kartasmi tyabhimanyade. So, same message in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So, like this, if you go, finally, Krishna closes that instructions to Devahuti. Kapila Maharshi is saying this to Devahuti. Evam pratyavam rishyasam atmanam pradivadyade sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraham. Yo avasthanam anugraha. That is where. He says, ahangaram is, I want to crush his ahangaram. That ahangaram has to go. Sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraha. That is my blessing to him. To put him in its right place. So again, if you go back into the 8th canto, you will see the same thing spoken there to Mahabali. Mahabali's case. Mahabali's story is also interesting. It says there that it is in the 22nd chapter where he says 24. Shri Bhagavan Vajam Brahman Yamanu Krishnami Tadvishu Vijano Myaham Yanmada Purusha Stabdho Lokammam Chavam Anyate. He says, Brahman Yamanu Krishnami Tadvishu Vidhinomyaham. That those who want to have a big name in this world, all take that name away from him. Yanmada Purusha Stabdho. He'll be stunned by that. When I do that to him, he'll get stunned by that. Mada Purusha Stabdham. And Lokammam Chavam Anyate. The whole world will look down upon him. That's necessary to get that ego out. Mahabali's case, that was the problem, isn't it? So Krishna took out everything from Mahabali, and Krishna is saying to Mahabali, this is what I do when I want to bless someone. I take out everything from him, from that person. And then again, if you go into the 10th canto, you will see same message spoken about 10th canto, which is in relationship with that Vrigasura story. There also you will notice the same thing. 88th chapter. 1088. And there, in the 8th verse, if you look at that. That, yasyaham anugrahnami harishe tadhanam shanai tado dhanam tyajandasya sojanal dukkha dukkhidaha. Then, when I want to bless someone, Krishna says, first thing, I take out all his wealth. And then, tadhodhanam tajandasya. When all the wealth is gone, what will happen the next thing? All family will go. They'll all say goodbye. Tadhodhanam tajandasya. And then, when everybody has left, sojanal dukkha dukkhida. Then, that is the way it works. That is Krishna's law. That's how these things happen in here. Prabhupada recognizes this. Prabhupada mentions these words. He talks about that many times, what happened in his own life. With all his business all gone, and Krishna Prabhupada could not understand why it has all gone in this way. From a good position he had in the chemical industry, what he led, he is as a general manager's position or something in them days, both laboratories. And then things changed life in such a way, finally became all money is gone. Everything is gone. Family gone. Money gone. Krishna Prabhupada says there, even he talked to his godbrother, Keshava Maharaj told him this verse, Yasyaham anugrihnami harishye tadhanam shanei tadodhanam tejandasya swajanal dukha dukhida. And Prabhupada saying, I'm sitting here now in this state. But this is what the interesting thing. When an intelligent person, when things happen in life like that, he becomes more Krishna conscious. Seeing Krishna's potency in controlling the life. That is Krishna's grace, that is. To turn around a situation like that favorably in spiritual path. To turn it favorably in the spiritual path. But many instances it doesn't happen that way. We'll go in the wrong direction. We turn around and say that why Krishna is useless, no talk, point in talking to him, he's not any help to us. So it can also go in the other direction, isn't it? So that's what he's saying here. That Krishna is saying here, in all the three phases, if I want to bless someone, this is how I bless them. This is how I bless them. Then, and then Mahabali was sent there, and he wanted to bless Mahabali at that time, took everything from him. Similarly, this Brahmana, our Avanti Brahmana, is this Brahmana's wealth is completely gone. But, and everything has gone, Vairagyam came in life. That was the benefit for him. To get that Vairagyam, you have to work so hard. Any amount of preaching won't help. But that is Krishna's grace. Took out everything, but Vairagyam came inside. And it is from that Vairagyam, all that Bhikshugita has come. Bhikshugita has come from that Vairagyam. So you will see there, in that 14th verse itself, you will observe there, that
Sachahed amaho kashtam brudhalpamenutapidaha na dharmaya na kamaya yasyarthaya samidrishaha na chahed amaho kashtam brudhalpamenutapidaha na dharmaya na kamaya yasyarthaya samidrishaha.
People can react in all these situations different ways. Sometimes people turn to alcohol. Sometimes people give up their life, commit suicide, when situations like this happen. Is it not? So, na dharmaya, na kamaya, yasya arthaya sa idrishaham. So, Brahmana says, look at Brahmana's analysis of that. He says, my whole life was a waste of time. First realization for him. My whole life was a waste of time. It was I could not execute any dharma. Being a Brahmana, he had that culture in them, to know that. So, although born as a Brahmana, did not execute any karma, anushtanam, karma anushtanam, which they are supposed to do. He didn't do that. Nacha kama ayam. Because, on the other hand, didn't even try to fulfill his desires, to satisfy the desires. Even that, he did not do that. So, he is regretting about the whole thing. So this is how their life will go. Those who are in that category. Ajani Swami says there, remember, Makuru Dhanamada Yavana Garvam Haridin Nimeshal Kalam Sarvam Maya Mayamidam Agilam Hitva Brahmavadam Tvam Pravishaviditva. If you look into the Bhajagovindam prayers, you will see there that Makuru Dhanamada Yavana Garvam. That garvam, that ahangaram that comes, that because of the wealth and because of the ahangaram inside, yavanam, due to the youth, haradi nimeshal kalam sarvam. Everything can be taken away by, in a second, by time. Time can take away everything, any time. And maya mayamidam akhilam hitva. To know that it is maya and act that. So, maya mayamidam agilam hitva brahmapadam tvam pravisha viditva. You will see that verse is 11th verse. Maguru dhanamada yavana garvam haradi nimeshal kalam sarvam Mayamayamidam Ahilam Hitva Brahmavadam Tvam Pravishavidhitva says there. So that is the way it is, and he also mentions there that it is in there somewhere he mentions also that the about the money is concerned, how money can change the whole situation in life. Artham anartham?
Bhave
nityam. Bhave nityam. Then? It is in the... Nasti talsukhalesha satyam. Putradavidana bhajam bhidi. Sarvaitresha vihida bhidi. Vihida riti. So, Ajahn Swamiji is saying this here, artham anartham bhavaya nityam. Always to be conscious of this fact that artham can be anartham. How it will bring anartham, you will never know. Like we are talking about, when the boat is traveling and the water is coming in, should keep emptying the boat, otherwise boat will sink. So, artham anartham bhavaya nityam. Nasti tada sukhalesha satyam. And to feel any happiness from that you have to be frightened even about your own children. That's the way the world is always. And that is always there in this world. It has always been like that. And you can see in the modern world, it is so complicated, this whole setup, isn't it? The family world, how it is, that many times parents don't want to keep any property in the children's name. One person wrote, this is very interesting. He was a very old person. He says, he told his grandchild to write his will, and he wrote in that will, after his time all his wealth will come to me. Grandfather is writing for the will for the grandchild. After his death all the wealth should come to me, he said. So the same thing this old person is saying here, my life was a total waste, he's saying here. So, that he says that putradabhi dhanabhajam vidhi. Even from your own children, you could expect problems because of wealth. If you have no wealth, they won't give you any trouble. But if you have wealth, they could become a source of anxiety tomorrow. How they will react to that, you will have no control over it. And how your prarabdham will come through them, very difficult to say that. Relationship can break down. So many things can happen in life. So, you will see, read all these stories in the paper all the time, how it has happened. Putradabhidana bhajam bhidi sarvatresha vihidariti. He says like that. So, have you looked at this Mughal emperor's story? You will find this repeatedly happening. That they have done big, big things, but everybody goes to prison at the end. The eldest son will put the father into the prison at the end. You can see that from Kamsa it started. Kamsa put Ugrasena in the prison, isn't it? From Kamsa it started, and right out to Aurangzeb, the last Mughal emperor, that's what he did to his father, Jahangir. Jahangir was put in the prison because he has been waiting to get the throne. Old man is not going. So he decided that better lock him up. And to keep him busy, he gave a few children for him to teach. He said, you teach them something. So some kind of a, you know, so that he can pass his time in that way. So, father is getting old, but he's not getting out from the throne, isn't it? So how long can you wait? So finally he decided to put him in the prison. that is what he says here. The end of all these great personalities. My mind is like that. Mind, if you allow to go into the world too much, this is what will happen. World is full of ajnanam or avidya, distress, shogam, dukham, and all these things will get inside. And therefore, Krishna is saying there that allow the mind only to go inward towards Atma, to realize the truth. And actually, Krishna is the only truth. Everything else is false in this world, and asatyam, or false, or dukkham, distress, and mithya. When they will leave us, we don't know that. So that is the same thing. This Brahmana is also saying, that is the same thing he is mentioning here in this verse also. He says, Prayanartham kadaryanam na sukhaya kadachana yajalpobadapaya mrutasya naragaya cha. Mrutasya naragaya cha. He says, whosoever, he says here, that whoever his mind is very limited, whose mind is very limited, for them, whose mind is very limited, for them money is of no use to them. Mind is very limited. And same time, some wealthy people, you can see, they will do a lot of good things in this world, then they are much better in that way. And they have no attachment to their wealth in that way. Attachment is not there, or sangam is not there, like Janaka. Janaka was like that, isn't it? Always giving in plenty and always doing good things in this world and always in a peaceful, happy state. So, this, it is not the fault of the money, actually. It is the fault of the mind who is handling that money. Money is not a problem. Money is not a trouble. But it's the problem of the mind. And so, wealthy people also, they are people who keep the wealth and continuously they are engaging in different kind of activities, Krishna conscious activities, and that is what he is saying here. For a jnani, one who has no knowledge, for him money is of no use, and it is of no use to anybody else either. They themselves won't use it, nor they will not give it to anybody else. What will happen to them? That is what he is saying in that verse. Prayanartha kadaryanam na sukhaye kadachana hi chalpopadapaya mrutasya naragaya cha. That is their destination. When they are here, they will suffer, and when they die, they have a direct flight to the hell. That's their life. So, it's 4 o'clock, we'll have a break then.
ஆனந்தாம்புதிவர்தனம் பிரதிபத பூர்ணாமிருதாஸ்வாதனம் சர்வாத்மா சுவனம் பரம் விஜயவே ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ண சங்கீர்த்தனம் நாம்நாமகாரி பகுதா நிஜ சர்வசக்தி த்ராபிதா நிமிதா ஸ்மரணேன காலா வேதாதிஷீ தவ கிருபா பகவன் மமாபி துர்தைவமீதசமிஹாஜனினானுராகாஹ த்ருணாரபிஷுநீசேன தரோரபீ சஹிஷ்ணுனா அமானினா மானதேனா கீர்த்தனீய சதாஹரி ந தனம் ந ஜனம் ந சுந்தரீம் கவிதாம் வா ஜகதீஷ காமயே மம ஜன்மனி ஜன்மனீஸ்வரே பவதாத் பக்திரஹைதுகி த்வயி ஐ நந்ததனுஜகிங்கரம் பதிதாம்ஹம் ஷமே பவாம்புதோ கிருபயா தவ பாத பங்கஜஸ்தித தூளி சதசம் விசிந்தயாம் நயனம் கலதஸ்ருதாரயா வதனம் ததயுத்தயா கிரா புலரேர்ந்துஜிதம் ததாவபூ தவம் நாமம் கிரஹணே பவிஷ்யதி யுகாயிதம் நிமேஷேண சக்ஷுஷா ப்ராவிஷாயிதம் சூன்யாயிதம் ஜகல் சர்வம் கோவிந்த விரஹே நமே அஸ்லிஷ்யவா பாதரதாம் பினஷ்டு மாம் அதர்ஷனாம் மர்மஹதாம் கரோது வாம் யதா ததா வா விததாது லம்படோ வல்ப்ராணநாதாஸ்து நயேவ நாகராம்.
So this Bhikshugita, what we are discussing now, in the Narayaniyam it said, Kaschil Kleshaarjidartai Kshaya Vimalamadir Nurdhyamano Janoghe Pragevam Prahavipro Nakhalu Mama Janakkala Karma Grahava Chedo Me Dukkha Hedu Tadiha Gunaganam Bhavayal Sarvagari Tektva Shando Gadastvam Mamaja Guruvibho Tadrishim Chitta Shandim. Brahmanas state that acquired a lot of wealth with a lot of suffering in life, upset a lot of people, exploited a lot of people, and acquired a lot of wealth. Vimalamadir kshaya vimalamadir nudyamano janoghe prageva praha vipro nakhalu mama jana kala karma grahava. When everything was lost, he sang a famous song, which is Bhikshugita. And that Bhikshugita, he begins with this, isn't it? What does he say? Nayam janome sugadukha hedu na devadalma grahakarma kalam manapparam karanam amanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. So he realized that mind is the responsible, not the kalam, time, not karma, not the planets. Nothing, none of them are responsible. Nakhalu mama jana, none of these people are responsible for that, who have acquired everything, taken away from him everything. They are not responsible, he says. Nakhalu mama jana, kala karma grahava, chedo me dukha hedu. My mind is responsible. Tadiha gunaganam bhavayil sarvagari. According to the modes of nature, I am experiencing different things. Tiktva shandau gadastvam. By Krishna's grace, Shanti came, peace came, Vairagyam came to him. Mama jakuru vibho tadrishim chitta shandim. Therefore, what Krishna has shown that grace to that Brahmana, to feel that Shanti inside, through Vairagyam it came to him. Melpatur said the same thing to Krishna. In one verse, he summarized the whole thing. So, here, we can see that Brahmana is regretting now. Life was a complete waste of time. He felt that very, very strongly. And no Shanti here. Ultimately, after doing all these things, because on the one side, life was a... did not do what he was meant to do. As a Brahmana, what he was supposed to engage in Brahmanishta and Tattvajnanam, Almavidya. This was his main... Krishna has given that body for that purpose. Is it not? He didn't do that. That was one loss. Secondly, acquired all this wealth which is gone. So that's another loss. Overall, a failure. Life is a failure and frustration. Frustration. You can see in many, many people's life, this 18, 19 years old, can't even see, the eyesight is gone, and keeping the thick lens, they are looking at the stock shares market. How the shares are fluctuating, the share values are changing. So, what will happen to them? Imagine if you have to leave the body in that state. Though Shivananda, Swami Shivananda, he used to say an interesting story about that. It's a story, but it is an eye-opening story. A person died, and what happened was he became a snake. Person became a snake, and he was guarding his cash box in the house like a snake. Initially he was a dog, but he had a guru or spiritual master he had. But one day, when he died, the spiritual master casually walked into the house. When he walked into the house, by then he is dead. His disciple was dead and gone, and he didn't ask his children. Children told him that he's dead and gone. We don't know where he is. So what he did was, he went into the compound of the house and was looking for him. Who? This spiritual master. Was looking for the disciple in the compound. Because he knew very well that he was very attached to his house, very attached to his family and to the wealth. cash, whatever he had there. So, so he wandered around everywhere. While wandering around in the compound, one dog looked at him, and in a very sympathetic way. The dog was looking at him. So, this spiritual master understood that's him. So many instances these kind of things happen. That, so he says to him that you got a good life, you got a good life in this world, and you got satsangam also, but due to attachment to the wealth, that you have got this body now, dog's body. That because after leaving the home, because he left the body in that consciousness, that of attachment to his wealth, what he has acquired, very strong, very deep attachment inside. So when he left, he couldn't leave the home. Physically, body was gone, but subtle body was holding back. Couldn't escape from that. So naturally, material nature has its own arrangement. It's provided a dog's body there in the house to look after that. So it happened to him that his job was guarding the house. That misfortune came up to him. So the spiritual master tells him, come, let's go now. Don't stay here. You come with me, he said. So that jiva, the dog, says to him, you can say all that, but here these people, they don't care. They are so careless about everything, they leave the door open and they go away from here. So sometimes they are leaving the cash box, the box where they kept the cash, everything, he leaves it open and they go away here. And things are happening, somehow I am protecting all that here. That's what he was saying to him. That, so, that was the mood of that dog there. And he says, these people, they don't care. He's talking about his own children. That they don't care about anything. And like this, the dog stayed there. He won't go with him. After some time, the dog died. So, after some time, after the dog's death, one day, the spiritual master came to the house again. When he came to the scene, he says to the children who are living there, that is the owner who was his disciple, his children, there was a dog here, what has happened to that dog, he said. He said, that dog died, he said, it is gone away, he said. So this, he was a yogi, this his teacher, he says to him that it's not possible for that dog to go away like that because business is not finished yet for the dog. And this yogi who had come, who was his guru, yogi, all the sons had a lot of respect for him because he was a yogi and he was respected for that. So this yogi asked the children, where have you kept your cash box? He said. So he said, oh, it is in the almirah or cabinet inside. But go and open that almirah very carefully, or the cabinet very carefully. But do it very carefully, he said. So when they opened the cash box, there was a snake all around that cash box, staying there. So he didn't tell him that it's your father. He didn't tell that to them, it's your father. But told them, take it out from there and beat them. Beat the snake. But give the good beating, but shouldn't die in such a way. Beat strongly, but at the same time, it shouldn't die. And so they beat the snake. Naturally, that's a normal procedure. As soon as they get a snake, feed them. So, after having a lot of beaten, the yogi told them, now you can leave the snake. And he took the snake and put it on his shoulder. And he started walking away from there. While walking away from there, this jiva inside that snake came back to its senses. And he says to him, how many lifetimes you have been after me to save me from this situation. And even though in every lifetime I tried to dodge you and move away from you, still you followed me and chased me and managed to get me out from here. And it was actually a fight between my ignorance and your grace. Yogi's grace and my ignorance was fighting each other who will win. And now that your grace has won, my ignorance has gone away. Because of my ignorance, I had to accept the dog's body and now the snake's body. And now I can see what you are trying to tell me. I've started come to my understanding. And you have come to me with that grace and call me to come out from here. And that is the story, that I have escaped from this snake's body, because that vasana was so strong inside, attachment to that money, what he has earned. Shivananda Saraswati says there that he couldn't go away from there, even from that area where he has acquired that wealth and the house where he lived. So any body, you can come another body to stay there again because of that strong link with the with your attachment there inside. And that's what has happened. This is all there in the Bhagavatam also, you can see Jadabharata's story to become the deer. So if this is the danger with this vasanas, vasanas power, Ashtavakra Gita, you will read that, what he's saying about that. So here you will see, yasho yashasinam shuddham shlakhyaye guninam gunaha lobha sulpobidan handi shvitro rupavivepsidam. Why we say all these stories is to make us understand, because most of the people, especially the modern education, yeah, we all think that, oh, what happens after that? Who knows? This is the attitude. We just don't want to accept it, isn't it? Especially in the modern education system. Somebody is dead and gone, he's gone. Now what is more? What has got to do with me? That's the attitude. The majority of the people, they feel it like that. What has it got to do with me? He's dead and gone. All these stories what you are telling me, what meaning has it got? For them, it doesn't mean anything. That's that due to the ignorance inside, ajnanam inside. Difficult for them. So, although yashasa means good name in this world, all of them is very adorable, admirable, but this desire inside, I want to make more money, all of them will become a black mark on a person. Especially like, just like when you have this disease, leprosy. When leprosy comes, the body, even though he has got a good figure, but the body looks ugly, isn't it? In similar way, similarly, one who has got that miserliness in a person, whatever qualifications he may have, it will all become a waste. That's what Krishna is saying there. Yasho yasasinam shuddham shlakhyaye guninam gunaha lobham swalpobidan handi shvitro rupam vivepsidam. Shvitro rupam vivepsidam. Like a leprosy person, even though he has got a good physical body, because of the way the skin has changed its color, everything, it looks ugly to see that. So similarly, even that person has good qualities, this miserliness in him makes him look very bad. Makes him look very bad. So, then, arthasya, now the problem. What Krishna says. Three verses he says that what money can cause problem. Arthasya sadhane siddhe ulkarshe rakshane veye nashobhabhogamayasa trasas chindabhramo nranam strayam himsanudam dambham kamam krodham smayomadaha bhedo vairam avishwasam samspardha vyasananicha ede panchadashanartho arthamulamada nranam tasmad anarthamarthakhyam shreyo arthi duradastyajet. 15 problems, 15 of them, problems with money. What money can create in a person's life, all the, what problems what it can create. First of all, says arthasya sadhane siddhe ulkarshe rakshane veye. The first effort to acquire wealth, to create wealth, the tension from that of creating wealth, isn't it? Then some people say, after I have made enough money in my life, I'll start my spiritual life. After that, isn't it? And then I'll take to Krishna consciousness. And that he's saying here, the Krishna's point is, if you have acquired that sort of wealth and it is in the bank, then you won't be engaging spiritual life after that. It won't happen. We have to engage in spiritual life whether there is money in the bank or not. Money is the bank or not. If it is there, let it be there. But if it is not there, that and this has no relationship. no relationship with the money in the bank and your spiritual life. And that is prarabdham. That money that has come or it hasn't come, that's prarabdham that is. That thing and this, you shouldn't link these two things together. If you think that I'll work hard, earn a lot of money, and after that I'll engage in spiritual life, that will not happen. And therefore, and sometimes people say, I will make so much money and then I will retire after that. It's a common thing spoken by many, many people, isn't it? So, if you think like that, when will you retire? Never. So, what has happened is, all these years, you worked hard and developed this habit of making money. Once that is developed inside, that is pragriti. It has become a habit. It's become a vasana inside. And then you feel that if you are not making money, you feel you are losing something in life. So it has become a, what do they call, a second nature. A second nature. What can be done? It has become a habit inside the mind. Inside the mind. Now it won't go. It won't go. After that it's very, very difficult. Sometimes you can see husband and the wife is fighting about it. Once it so happened that there was one person, he was saying that every time when he gets angry, he tells his wife, no, I'm going to take to sannyasam. I'm leaving home. He used to say like that to her. So every time the mother, the wife will say, oh, please don't do that. And she will pay her obeisances and request him not to do that. So every day, this has to used to happen all the time. So one day her brother came and she mentioned this to him, that he is always saying to me that he's going to take sannyas and go. So the brother said, when he takes that next time, you just tell him, okay, you can go and see what happens, he said. So so she got some strength from that, from the brother who said this to her. So next time when he said this, when he said that, I'm going to go, I'm going to take sannyas and go, she told him that you can go, no problem, he said. You can go. And so he said that, I'm going, really going to go now this time, he said. She said, yeah, go please, he said. Don't come back, he said, go. He said, like that. He walked away and then after a few minutes he came back. So he says there, oh, I've forgotten to put that pot inside, he said. I left that pot outside, was washing, cleaning. Forgotten that to put that back again. He said, so this is how people's mind is working, isn't it? So prakriti won't live, let us go like that easily. Any swabhavam, what once we are cultivated inside and developed it, that swabhavam is very difficult to change. Krishna mentions that in the in the Ekadasi Skandam itself, Krishna says there that about this navar swabhavam, winning over one's own swabhavam is courage. He's saying, if not fighting the world, fighting your own swabhavam and able to win over that is called courage. He says. Yeah. So, so swabhavam won't go, won't change easily. And that is the way it will not go easily. Even if you go to Kailasam or Vaikuntham, it won't go. It will still hold you back. And the way material nature plays with us is like that. It plays with us is like that. Sometimes you can see that sometimes people go to Himalayas. Himalayas is meant for spiritual activities, isn't it? Normally. But they go there and they do business there. They go there. And they could have done the business here itself. They didn't go to Himalayas for that, isn't it? So you go there for engaging in spiritual life. But after going there, the habit has not left. And go to Kedarnath and doing business there. In Kedarnath and Badrinath. So you could have as well done that here, but prakriti is not letting them go, escape from that. Prakriti anyasada bhavot na kadanjit bhavishyati, Upanishad says. Prakriti, only what you can do about prakriti is, you keep the prakriti within that limitations of the prakriti, and little by little you have to train that prakriti nature in such a way and bring it under control. The vasanas, what we have created in different ways. That's all you can do about the Prakriti.
You will see this, Krishna mentions this in the, I think it is in the 19th chapter or so. 19th, I think it is the 19th, yeah.
So bhava vijayam shauryam, Krishna says.
Uddhava asked the question. Krishna is saying that dandanyasa param dhanam kamatyaga tapasmridam svabhava vijayam shauryam satyanja samadarshanam. Krishna's definition, shauryam means courageous, isn't it? Heroic, courageous nature. You are courageous and heroic if you win your svabhavam, change your svabhavam inside. Svabhava vijayam shauryam satyanja samadarshanam. In the 19th chapter, Krishna says that. So, that is the only way you can do that. Remaining within the Prakriti, trying to tame one svabhavam, whatever svabhavam we have, to train that in such a way and bring it under a certain level, that it does not go and drag us into its problems. And no other technique will work. No other technique will work. So, first thing is not to create a svabhava. That is the first thing. To take notice of that. To take care of that. So you don't create any strong vasanas inside. Because once you have created that, it won't go easily. It won't go easily. And if you two or three times that svabhava has built up inside, it will be very difficult to live without that. Without that. Many things are like that. For example, that once that svabhava built up inside, to develop, to acquire that, you will start in direction all the time, mind will go in that direction. So, you start thinking, if I get it, I'll get the name and the fame and everything, and those will follow. Therefore, Krishna says, Utkarshe Rakshane Veye. He says that ulkarshe rakshane, then protecting the wealth. First of all, wealth has come, then you want to increase it, is it not? And that sky's the limit, increasing is concerned. Ulkarshe. Then what you got to protect that? All kinds of way assets lose its value, isn't it? House prices are falling. Gold prices is dropping, share prices are dropping, and it's all creating tension inside. So, Udkarse Rakshane Siddhi. And even if you manage to protect it, then the problem how to spend it. How to spend it. And and also always the fear, will it all go? It will lose its value. And then, if it is utilized for some purpose, you are saying, oh, I have used it, what will happen to that wealth? That feeling. Oh, I have used it and it's gone like that. So, and the effort to acquire that. So, while all this is going on, the greatest problem is that the mind is absorbed in that all through this time. And thinking about it, become bald. All the hair will go because of the thoughts about this, protecting this wealth. This is life, isn't it? So, that is what he's saying. So, there was an interesting story. Ramakrishna used to say this. He said that a frog got some 50 pence or something. So, when he got this 50 pence, frog and the 50 pence, what relationship has it got? But frog took this 50 pence and went into its hole where it has got its life. He kept this 50 pence there. And then he came out of the hall and he looked at the world. He said, everybody respecting me. So meanwhile, an elephant was coming that way. So he went up to the elephant and looked at the elephant. He said, elephant is respecting me because I got money now, 50 pence. So elephant didn't have any care for the frog. It put its feet on the frog and died. He lost his life. So, so even though the frog and the 50 pence has no connections, that even a frog can develop false ego when it has wealth. When it has wealth. So, that praudhi, adhyatvam in other words. So, therefore, to be careful, Krishna is saying there, that if you get a lot of it, desires, and then
when all this is going, thinking that, oh, the children, will they go in the wrong way? The next worry. Money is there, plenty. But then always there is a fear inside, will the children will take to proper way of living, or because of this wealth, will that become a problem? Because they will feel in a different way, but they didn't struggle for that. You have struggled for that. So naturally they will be thinking that is so much wealth, why should I work? Why shouldn't I enjoy my life? This will come in their head. Once that happens, you will be thinking, you have worked all your life for their purpose, and this is how they are looking at the wealth, isn't it? So this is what has happened in the Bhagavatam. You can see there, Kubera's children, Nalavera and Manigriva, isn't it? That Narada Maharshi cursed them and told them to stand like two trees there. What was their problem? Srimadhanda, because of their opulence. Parents were rich. Father was very, very rich. Treasurer of the demigods, isn't it, Kubera? He was so wealthy that the children had no respect for wealth. They just wanted to enjoy. But Narada Maharshi says to them that you don't deserve this. You have to become two trees and stand there. But because father was a devotee, therefore Narada Maharshi made a concession that 100 years you stand there, then one day Krishna will come, and when Krishna comes, you can get released from this body. Gave him a curse, and they stood there as the Nalakuvera and Manigriva, the two trees, Arjuna trees, which stood there. So that curse, they stood there in the Vrindavanam, in Gokulam, like that. It was at that time Krishna came with the tied to the mortar, Ulukala, that tied to that and came in between those two trees. There was no other way. If Krishna hasn't come, they would have stood there forever. So these two, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they were drunk when they met Narada Maharshi. They drunk and went and fell on Narada Maharshi. You know that. They they got drunk and they went and fell on Narada Maharshi after getting drunk. So for them, Narada Maharshi says there, the only way you can have the addiction, from this addiction what they have heard, is that give them this curse. There was no other way. Stand there as two trees for a long period of time without moving anywhere. That's a curse for them. So that is that curse. Krotham smayam madam. Everything the same, what Krishna is saying there. Kamam krotham smayo madam. They are all more or less the same thing. More or less the same thing. So madam bhedam. What means? Bhedam means that we are all different, that feeling. Everybody is different. Veda Buddhi built up like this. So, Vairam, Vidvesham. All. Vairam, Avishwasam, Samsparda, Vesananicha. Different bad things, what he is referring to. Avishwasam. Avishwasam means you don't trust anybody. When you have a lot of wealth, you won't trust anybody. That's another thing. So, if anybody comes and always the fear, will they take my wealth away from me? And samspardha, also because of wealth, spardha, towards other wealthy people. Equally competition builds up inside, well, towards them. And vyavahani, so 15 things Krishna has spoken there. Arthasya sadhane siddhe, ulkarshe rakshane vyaye, Nashobha bhoga mayasa trasas chinda brahmo mrinam strayam himsa anradam dambham kamam krodham smayam madam bhedam vairam avishwasam samsparda vasananicha. We have discussed all this when we spoke about it last time also. So he understood, our Bhikshu understood, that all these 15 problems can come from money. And out of his experience he is saying this, that all this has happened. Brahmana says, I've seen all these things. You see, he says in the Vidyande Bradaro Dara Pitara Sukhrdastataha Ega Snigda Kaginya Sadya Sarveraya Krataha. In the name of wealth, brothers fighting. Brothers will fight. They will fight each other for the sake of wealth. How many instances this happens all over the world, if you look. That, and they will go to such an extent that that stage at that time when they want to share the wealth of the parents or partition happens at that time. So, and it creates hate, all relationships finished with that, and dharaham. Sometimes the same, because of the wealth, husband is earning well, and competition between husband and the wife, who is earning more. What to do? And so therefore, sometimes you see account, separate account, husband has an account, wife has an account, and separately operated. Husband lend the money to the wife, wife lend the money. All this goes on in this very world. You know, relation, partner they call it, isn't it? We have come to such level now in our relationships, each other, that this is what the modern world is on of, and we are all very civilized. That's the most interesting thing. So, husband give lend the money to the wife on interest, gives to her, and she gives it to the husband also in the same way. This is our present modern advanced civilization. So, in the olden days, this is the olden days, of course, things were different, that many wives, they won't even touch the money. They didn't know anything about it. Everything was managed. So, otherwise, husband will give it to the wife and tell them, you manage everything, and leave it to the wife. Whichever way, they have set it up like that. So because but husband will give it to the wife to look after, or husband will manage himself. It was never an issue like that. But in the modern world, it doesn't work like that, isn't it? Because there is so much mistrust. There also, relationships are not working very well. And therefore, always you will see when the marriage breaks up, what happens with their situation. That everything, only because of the money, the whole family life becomes a misery. Total misery. Children suffer, break up, husband suffer, wife suffer, and a lot of money to the lawyers at the end. This is what the modern world is, isn't it? And what can you do? That's, and then, so, so this is something to support and make it easier. These days also the society has accepted all this, and they say that divorce is the solution to all the problems. There is a problem, they immediately find the solution in that way. So, why Bhagavatam says all these things? That is the question, isn't it? Bhagavatam is saying all these things not to tell us about the world. That's not the idea behind it. Idea is, somehow or the other, to create vairagyam inside. That we are not looking at the world. See, in society, if society accepts something as a acceptable thing, then the whole, we also will accept it very easily. We will say, oh, that's normal. It's happened to so many people. It's happened to me. Why? What's the problem? That's the way we look at it. But Bhagavatam is saying to us that when these things are happening, if it is creating some vairagyam inside, then it is some benefit from that. Otherwise, if you keep on analyzing all these things, what Krishna is saying to us there about the acquiring wealth and 15 anartham. Anartham means the inauspicious things that can come from wealth, is listed there. So by analyzing that, if an intelligent person has come to some understanding about life to develop vairagyam, that is the benefit from that. That is what Bhagavatam wants to have. Not anything else. Not to analyze the world. Analyzing world is useless. But to learn something from this world, everything from the world we have to learn. Like Dattatreya learned from the world, is it not? 24 spiritual masters, he was learning from the world. This world itself is a great place, teaching institution for making us spiritually advanced. Spiritual realization has to come from this world. So if some vairagyam comes, the benefit is, it will strengthen your self-inquiry. Inquiry about the self, that will get stronger. And that is the reason, that by seeing, analyzing, observing all these things, a decision must come inside and desire not to engage in vyavaharam in the world. To withdraw from the vyavaharam. In order to get that strength from inside, from vyavaharam, to withdraw from the vyavaharam, if it is helping, all this is, that's vairagyam. That is Vairagyam. That means after seeing this many, many times, these problems in this world and the people's situations, that you have to feel, I had enough is enough. If that happens, then the advantage is the attention will go inwards and start reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam seriously. Otherwise, you will think that some story happened somewhere else, as I said before, many thousands of years ago. So in order to become that a loneliness, to build a solitude inside, for the Shandi or Priyam inside, so this Brahmana's story was spoken here. And Brahmana is saying now, I have seen enough in my life. He has come to that understanding. And he is able to say this openly, I don't want any of these things. See what he says? Surgaba vargayor dwaram prapya logam imam puman drevine konushajeda martyo anarthasya dhamani devarshi pidrabhudani nyadin bandum shabhagina asamvibhajya jalpmanam yakshavitta patatyathaha. So Brahmana felt it very much, and he is saying like this, that this human body, which is even demigods are desiring to have this human body, that too I got a Brahmana's body. Krishna himself glorified the Brahmana's body in the Bhagavatam. He says, Brahmanasahi dehoyam kshudragamaya nishyade. Kshudragama means this cheap and happiness from the sense enjoyment. It should not be utilized for that purpose. It should be used for a higher purpose of realizing the truth. That's for that body is special. So, Brahmanasihi dehoyam kshudragamaya neshade. Kshudragama means simply these kind of things, acquiring wealth and becoming rich and engaging in sense enjoyment. All this is kshudragama. So, Brahmanasihi dehoyam. Krishna says, I have given that body to that person not for kshudragama, but for if it is utilized properly, pratyananda sukhayaja, he will get the highest benefit from this life. So, Avanti Brahmana is saying, that I got a human body first thing, and that too I got a Brahmana's body, plus I have been given a birth in this Bharata Bhumi, and I have wasted that whole thing. He is lamenting now, very strongly lamenting. He is 80 years old, everything has gone, time is over now, I can't do anything about it. So you can imagine how much guilt he must be having inside to make that statement. He's feeling so strong about it, and he's saying, so many things I have done so long and wasted my time. And he says, from now on, I'm not for any of these things, and walks out from there. That's that Vairagyam inside. Only for the purpose I have come here. He's old, but that determination inside, I will not do anything now anymore in this life except for realizing the truth. As far as spiritual realization. And that is that he mentioned here. Durlabham trayamayvedal devanugraha hedugam manushyattvam mumukshattvam mahapurusha samshrayaha. Viveka Chudamani says there. So, got this human body, Brahmana's body, and also studied Shastram. But he says, even after that, if the whole life is wasted like this, what did I gain? Brahmana is saying here, then anadritya kevalam, only because of my disrespect to the Shastram, that this has happened to me. You will see this so many times happening all over the world, that we are unable to utilize the human life properly. The best bargain, Prabhupada used to say, that make the best use of a bad bargain. It is a bad bargain, this life in this world. It's a loss at the end. Nothing you gain from here. So the answer is best use of a bad bargain. And the best use is self-realization. We'll see tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.